WTFR.
Disclaimer. This edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed, just like every edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed, is going to be very naughty. Disclaimer. This edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed will contain bad language, condescension, mock value. Disclaimer. If you are a little pussy bitch, you may not want to listen to this show. Disclaimer over and out.
1, 2, 4.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company 3's Allowed, brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR. I might not be too coherent this evening, or this morning, or this afternoon, depending on where you are, because I've had a killer-ass toothache that has kept me awake all night, and I've been on the whiskey. So it's going to be fun, let's just put it that way. Holy shit.
So I found it, 9 to 6 in L.A., Greyhound could be my way. Police and niggas, that's right, get out of my way. Don't need to buy none of your gold chains today. And I don't need no bracelets clamped in front of my back. Just need my ticket till then. Won't you cut me some slack? You're one in a million. Yeah, that's what you are.
One in a Million by Guns N' Roses. I hadn't heard of it until Maleficus told me about it. And I've got to say this, that I just absolutely fucking love this song. I don't know whether Axel was trying to mock people that speak the way that Maleficus and I do, or whether he actually believed what he was saying when he said this, but he sung this. But I do recall Slash actually calling Axel a naive white boy. So it wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he really did believe what he was saying.
Immigrants and faggots, they make no sense to me. They come to our country and think they'll do as they please. Like start some mini Iran or spread some fucking disease. They talk so many goddamn ways, it's all Greek to me. Well, some say I'm lazy, and others say that's just me. Some say I'm crazy, I guess I'll always be. But it's been such a long time since I knew right from wrong. It's all the means to an end. I keep it moving along. Hi, 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 hi. You're one in a million. Ooh, oh, you're a shooting star.
We're going to be talking about a lot of things today, and tonight, and tomorrow, and yesterday, and this morning. Because I was having some conversations with Shield Maiden behind the scenes, and I like to record what I'm saying. Some people like to type. I get tired of typing after a while because I've been typing since I was 9 years of age. I started coding at 9 years of age, so I get tired of it. So what I do is I start just recording what I'm saying, and it gets sent through Skype. So I'm a person that likes to also just keep what I'm saying and everything like that so that we can play these sorts of things on the show. I'm going to be talking about the whole bra bullshit. You know, yo bro, yo bra, a discussion I had with Maleficus. I'm also going to be talking about the Cellulite Boxing Championships. Lying PC feelings, being hurt, all of that sort of stuff, bi culture, and Maleficus on, I will comment accordingly, and whatever Maleficus will bring to the table, we'll soon see.
I'm a small town wife. boy. Just try to make it meet. Don't need your religion. Don't want to not stay me. Just making my living, baby. Well, that's enough for me. You're one in a million. Yeah, that's what you are. You're one in a million, babe. You're a shooting star. Maybe someday I'll see you before you make us cry. You know we tried to reach you, but you are much too high. Much too high.
Yes, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome to Two's Company, Three's Loud, brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, where thought is free radio. I'm your host, Sean. Maleficus is my other host, and we're going to be winging it somewhat today because, I had a nasty toothache last night, and everybody might say, you've admitted that you're an alcoholic, Sean, so why don't you just admit that you're drunk every day? No, that doesn't work that way. What happens is I get happy each day if I'm not working, as I've always said on the broadcast. I say that, you know, if I'm not working, I'm drinking, but that doesn't mean that I get drunk every day. I get tipsy, and I get happy, and that's where I remain. I don't get drunk, but at the moment, yes. I'm going to admit it. I'm drunk. Last night, I had a kick-ass toothache. I woke up with it. I started drinking. I started putting the whiskey in the side of the mouth. You know, the whole Churchill thing that Maleficus was explaining not long ago. And thank God it works. But I'm tired. I've had fuck-all sleep. So this broadcast is going to be kind of interesting. You know, I might... get some more aggression going on, you know. Let's bring Maleficus into the broadcast. Maleficus, are you there?
I'm there, mate. I'm there. Sorry to hear about your tooth, old boy. There's nothing worse. There is nothing worse than, you know, a toothache, back pain, or paper cuts on the eyeballs. They're all about the same thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, especially about the paper cuts on the eyeballs. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know, it's terrible. You can't sleep, so I get up, and then I lay down thinking I'm going to be fine now. I've put a bit of whiskey in my mouth. I swished it around, rah, rah. It didn't work. I get up. See, you can't just swish it around in your mouth. You've got to swish it around in your mouth, and then you've got to drink. And that's the only way you got to do it. So I'm a bit zonked out. I'm tired. I'm drunk. And but nonetheless, the show goes on. As you know,
the show must go on.
The show must go on.
Indeed. Yep. Yeah. Well, no, it's good to be back. Anyway, regardless of your troubles, I'm sitting pretty actually.
You lucky fucker.
Sorry to gloat. But,
you know what? If someone's enjoying it, then I'm happy. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we've got a lot to talk about.
What is the word for laughing at other people's misfortune? There is a particular word for it, isn't there? I can't remember what it is.
Motherfucker. motherfucker.
I'll settle with that.
Yeah. At the moment, the tooth is not so bad, but you know what? Because the tooth has grinded down so much, it's cutting the gum. So,
yeah,
it's nasty shit. It's really nasty shit. And I can't get an appointment until next month because everything's cut up because of COVID and everything like that. So, they're not going to be able to do the work on my teeth. I'm a grinder, as many of my audience know, I'm a grinder. I grind my teeth in my sleep. I don't do it during the day. I never do it during the day. But my daughter's actually said, Dad, you know, when I've come in and looked at you in your sleep, you are literally grinding your teeth. Like, you can hear it going like that. And I'm like, what? Really? And she's like, yeah. So, yeah, the grinding has done fucking major damage to my teeth, and now I've got to,
it will do.
Yeah, I've got to get it. I've got to get it fixed, of course. But anyway, we don't want to talk about my teeth about throughout the whole show. So we're going to be talking about the bro bra thing, Maleficus, that you and I were discussing.
Oh, bro!
Fucking hell! You know, and the Cellulite Boxing Championships, right? You don't know what you don't know what that's about, because that was Shield Maiden and I talking about that, right?
Okay.
And the lying PC feelings and people getting hurt. And we're also going to be, I'm also going to be playing a clip that I recently made called The Biculture, because there's some people that don't get to hear it over 107.9, of course. They don't get to hear it over the internet, so they only get to hear it over 107.9. And we'll discuss that accordingly, of course. And we've also got a 23-minute clip. I'll pull the brakes out in the third hour so that you and I can discuss the truth about Daniel Andrews, something that JB put in the chat room, which I think is really important to play for those that can only listen via 107.9 FM and 1650 AM. Oh, and the hippies!
Don't forget the hippies.
I can't forget the hippies. Also, TuneIn Radio, MyTuner, Listen Online Radio, Radio, Radio Stream Meter, Stream Finder, Radio Garden, our favourite, Live Online Radio, and Streamer. Thank you to all of you AM and FM affiliates also that don't like to be mentioned. That's all cool with us. You know, we're just glad that you get us out there on whatever frequency and where. It's just cool. So thank you to all of you by all means. I didn't mean to leave yous out at the start of the show. Again, I'm a little bit out of sorts at the moment, and I'm doing my best. the bro bra thing, Maleficus.
Yeah.
The bro bra thing.
It's a very common thing nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not necessarily okay with me. I mean, you know, I am somewhat conservative, I guess you could say. And when I hear kids walking around this, whether it be the schools or down the street or something like that, I get a little bit pissed with the whole bro bra thing. Hey, sup. And I'm thinking, hold on, you're a little white dude. You don't need to be talking like that. Why are you talking like a fucking nigger? And the dudes that wear their fucking hat backwards to be the whole fucking nigger bullshit, it pisses me off to no end. And I always ask, where are the parents? Now, ladies and gentlemen, Maleficus and I were talking about this just yesterday, and one of the things I do is I record what I'm saying so that if need be, I can bring it to the show, but not just that. Because it's at the time, I'm passionate at the time. You know what I'm saying? So, for instance, you know, Maleficus, you probably know this as well. You get a thought in your head and you want to be passionate about it, but then when you get to the show, you've already thought it and you've already spoken about it with me. So therefore, the passion ain't there when you get to the show. So what I do is I deliberately record everything I say, so that I can bring that passion to the broadcast. So I'm going to be playing a couple of clips where you were actually typing to me, but I was speaking to you, so that people can get a gist of what I'm saying, but also you can comment accordingly as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's, yeah, cool. No worries.
All right. So let's do the bro thing first. You're going to love the Cellulite, boxing championships, by the way. Yeah, you'll love that.
Yeah.
All okay. Right, so let's get the bro thing out of the way so that the good people that are sitting around the campfire with us can get a gist of it all. So Maleficus was typing to me, and I was responding accordingly in audio, ladies and gentlemen. So have a listen to this.
The one I really can't stand is bro. You know what I mean? Like, we use this in jest, you know, the nigger and the brother and all that. But the one I really can't fucking stand is bro or bra. When you're walking down the street, and one of these people that see you down the street often go, oh, sup, brah? Sup, brah? I can't help myself. And anger arises in me to the likes you've never seen. My face goes red and I say, I am not something that supports a woman's breasts. As much as I would fucking like to be that creation, I'm not. So stop calling me fucking brah. And when I was walking past the school once, and this young lad, he probably looked about, I don't know, 13, fucking, sup, bro, sup. And I went, sup? What are you talking about? Do you want me to cook your supper? No, I mean, what's up? I said, then say what's up. Knock it off. You're not a nigger. You're a little white boy. Act like it. And I just walked off, and he was like, oh my God. And I'm pretty sure to this day he's probably now re-educated. Don't call people fucking bro or brah, you know, unless it's a joke.
And a lot of people, the clip is finished now, just to let you know, but a lot of people would frown upon that for me to say that to a kid that's about 13 years of age. No, you know, my best lessons were when I was 13, when somebody walked up to me and said, you say that again in that fashion and I will kick your ass. That's when I got my major education. So I did the same thing. You know, when you're walking past a school and some kid's going, sup, bro, sup, brah, you look across them and say, stop talking like that. What is wrong with you? You're a white boy. You're not a nigger. What the hell is wrong with you? You know,
and why would they appropriate with that as well? To be fair, you know, I must admit, I'm one of those idiots when I was a kid that used to wear my cap backwards. But the reason was, I was a skateboarder, used to skateboard quite a lot, and it used to stop the sun from burning the back of my neck. But as far as, you know, it's not like I'd ever wander up to one of my mates and go, sup, nigger.
See, that's a very different thing.
It's the same appropriation, isn't it? You
know? It's a very different thing, though, Maleficus. It's a very different thing in that you were wearing it backwards to protect your neck, but a lot of these kids are wearing it backward because they think the nigger culture is professional. They think it's great. They think it's fantastic. It's been, you know, put out there as if it's the greatest thing on earth. That's why. So when you have a kid that's walking around with a cap backwards and saying, what up, brah? What up? Or sup, brah? Sup, brah? I'd look at him and say, put your cap forward, first and foremost, because it's there to protect the face, your face, and start talking like a proper person. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about those that do it because their neck gets burned. I'm talking about those that do it just to be that fucking wigger culture. Not the nigger culture, the wigger culture, where they're saying, oh, I'm a white nigger. Sup? What's up? I cannot stand that. You know, if you're going to do it for the right reasons, cool. But if you're just going to do it to become a part of the wigger culture, no, not on. Well, and that's why I said...
thing to add to this is something that really, really irritates me is, is people that can't find a belt to keep their fucking trousers up. What the hell is all that about? I've heard that you know, the fact that people wander around with their like underpants on show, their boxer shorts on show, whatever, with their with the waistband of their jeans halfway down their ass or lower.
Yeah.
This is a very black culture thing, but I heard, I think it was Giuseppe's radio show or someone of the like, they were talking about in America, if you're in prison and you're not in a gang.
It's not just America.
If you're in prison and you're not in a gang, but you want protection from the gangs, it's a way of saying that you're open for business.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And it's not just America. It's Australia. It's UK the whole way. You know, I haven't been in prison per se, but I've been in jail quite a few times for my own, reasons, you know, fighting and everything like that. And I got to talking with some of the people in jail and everything like that, and they said straight out, yeah, the reason they do that is for the protection. So in other words, they're saying, yes, I'll take it up the ass as long as you protect me from whoever. So yeah, that's what it's about. It's disgusting. It's foul. Yeah. But a lot of these fucking niggers and wiggers, they're wearing their pants down, almost down there to the bottom of their butt, and they don't realize what the real meaning is. So they're walking down the street with their pants down. You know, one of the funniest things I, used to do when I was driving through Melbourne was I would say straight out, like, pull your fucking pants up, otherwise you're gonna get fucked in the ass, you fucking moron. And, yeah, my ex, she would laugh her ass off at the time. She would say, holy God, that was funny. Did you see the look on his face? Because these motherfuckers don't understand, what they're signifying when they're walking around with those pants down around their butt. They have no idea. They think it's the new cool.
I was going to say, Michigan Goy has just said that he's just confirmed that, and also having your shoelaces untied.
It gives
the same message.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a new one on me.
That's right. Okay. That's right as well. Yeah. Being on the street, you know, Maleficus, sometimes I think that it needs to be compulsory for people to spend just 6 months on the street to get to know what the fuck shit is about, because, it's pretty brutal out there. And of course, I'm being facetious. I don't want people to have to stay on the street. I'm just saying, you know, as a joke, sometimes I think it should be mandatory for them to go out and to get on the street to understand what the fuck is going on. You know, Michigan Goy is absolutely right about that. The shoelaces, it's the pants as well, the whole lot. And it was a signification of saying, yeah, protect me by raping my ass, pretty much. Now we've got a caller. I think it's Adrian. Adrian, have we got you there?
You have indeed. Yes, I've been listening to what you've been talking about. Interesting. It just reminded me once I did a bit of supply teaching in a school after I'd retired, and at this school there was a boy, a young lad who looked much like I would have looked at his age, about 12 or 13, I suppose it was, and the teacher had asked him to write an essay on, I think she called it the Holy Grail, what he wanted to have out of life, or what he want to, you know, what he wanted to be in some way. And I was startled when he said to me, I asked him, I said, what is it you want to be? What is your Holy Grail? That was the way it was put. He said, I want to be a black rapper. This is a little fair-haired boy.
Jesus.
I was in a classroom, so I couldn't very well say, and I wouldn't anyway. I was so startled. I wanted to talk about it. Really, I was absolutely amazed to think of a white boy who would have felt himself to be part of a privileged people only 20 or 30 years before now had reduced himself to the circumstance where he wanted to be a black rapper. I said, I don't think you.
That's
that
terrible.
I didn't shout at him at all. I simply. I was just startled. I think that's the fairest thing to say.
That's absolutely terrible.
Actually,
If I may interrupt just for a quick sec, Adrian, absolutely terrible. You know, I have Dr. William Pierce run on my network 24/7, like in one of the 24/7 lineups. And I remember him saying that, you know, that little JonBenet Ramsey that was killed because she was dressing up so sexually at her age. She was a little girl. Mm. You know, the whole toddlers and tiaras, pardon me, bullshit. And when you say that, he wanted to be a black rapper, you know, the whole, everything comes to head when it comes to the mainstream media, TV, and everything that these kids are seeing, and they're twerking and they're rubbing up against poles and all sorts of shit. I'm thinking, yeah, well, there you go. You know, this young boy that you're talking about, it's fucking horrifying to me to have to think that some young boy would say, I want to be a black rapper. That's mortifying to me.
I know. It disgusted me. But sometimes I found if you're impassive about it, no comment at all, they tell you more. People will tell you more than they would do if you looked angry or So my reaction was at that point was simply to say, I think, as far as it was some years ago now, well, you can't be a black rapper, I said, something like that.
Yeah.
But it just shocked me, actually. I was startled, in fact, that was the point. I really was surprised to hear that kind of thing. And I believe I think it's demoralizing for our own race to have that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what shocks me more, Adrian? What shocks me more is the parents. Where the fuck were the parents? You know, me as a parent, I am really strict. My daughter and I have these conversations all the time, and she says, I understand why you're strict, Dad, because of the way things are going on. Because I've explained to her the way things are working, and then she, once she realizes the way things are working, she says, I understand why you're strict, because this is happening. So where were the fucking parents for this poor kid?
Oh, yes, yeah.
You know, go ahead.
Well, one of the things, of course, is that parents have been large, authority figures generally have been disarmed by the politically correct laws that have come in over the last 40 or 50 years. Any parent that even smacks their child nowadays is liable to be locked up.
Yeah.
Not necessarily locked up, but often they'll...
I know what you mean, yeah.
...custody of their children. And almost the same thing happens in prisons with respect to policemen. Years ago, a policeman would have given you a cuff around the head if you cheeked him. Now... he loses his job if he does that. And so these laws which have come in over the last 40 or 50 years, really, which sometimes might be classed as human rights laws, they are the ones that give rights for children, for example. It means that almost no action can be made by a parent. A rough action at all is likely to be, or may well be, denounced the parent by the child.
Yeah,
at the authorities, and this is what's undermining the parents. So when we say the parents are irresponsible, part of the reason, not the only reason, but part of it is they've, in a sense, given up. They know they can't control them within the means that they've got. It's as though a golfer, you took away all his clubs except one and expected him to sort of win the game. You know, you take away the golf stick of a clout round the head, then the teacher is disarmed, isn't he? That's part of the trouble.
Yeah, it is. It
so
really is.
You can't control them.
It really is. I've got to say this real quickly. You know, when I was talking to my daughter's principal, one of the things she said, she totally agreed with me, Adrian, which you'll be happy to know, and you as well, Milan.
Yes, I will. Yes, I am. Yes.
Yeah, so what happens is I said, I'm not impressed about the fact that my daughter has come back with certain language and she's named certain people, certain kids that are saying this sort of stuff. I said, I'm not impressed with it. And what she said, what the female principal said, she said straight out, she said, Sean, I think this all comes from television. And I said, you're damn right it does. It comes from the TV programs they watch, the mainstream media. It comes from mainstream radio. I know it all too well. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I was really...
Excuse me, it's not only the media. It's the fact that... I mean, let me put it this way. I can remember when I was at school, in primary school, the headmaster, Mr. Williams, was a bit of a disciplinarian. And, you know, he had a little instrument he called Tickler in the corner of the room, in a cupboard. And Tickler was a short cane. And it was extremely effective in bringing order and discipline to the class. He did use it occasionally, but he didn't have to use it every day.
Right.
And the mere existence, like the nuclear weapon, it was enough to keep most of us quiet most of the time. Now, if that teacher were, and he had a high reputation, I think he was thought to be a good teacher. He was the headmaster of the school. And many others like him. Would lose their jobs straight away.
No, absolutely. Adrian, we're about to come up to a break in about 30 seconds.
Oh, right.
I want to hold you over because I want to have a further discussion with you about this. I got the cane so many times when I was in school, it wasn't funny, but it helped condition me. It helped make me what I am today. I was in a Catholic school and everything like that. These days, as you said, you're absolutely right. As you said, if they do it these days, they lose their jobs. Now, I saw two pictures. One picture said, this is what created white Western civilization. And you saw a man smacking a boy on the bottom. And then it said, and this is what destroyed white Western civilization. And there was another picture that we'll discuss when we get back from the break, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company, Three's Allowed, Malefica Sentius, Adrian, and myself, Sean. We'll be right back.
This program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you feel the need to donate to TCTAUnleashed.com, by all means do so. It's not that I need the money to keep the network going, it costs me bugger all. But I need beer. So if you want to send me a beer, send me $5 or $10 here and there. Cheers. Enjoy the show.
There was the stage, two red lights and a dodgy PA. Trod the planks way back then, and it's strange that you're here again, and I wish I knew the right words to make you feel better. Walk out of this place.
Now an army may be likened to water, for just as flowing water avoids the heights and hastens to the lowlands, so an army should avoid strength and strike weakness. And as water shapes its flow in accordance with the ground, so an army manages its victory in accordance with the situation of the enemy. And as water has no constant form, there are in warfare no constant conditions. Thus, one able to win the victory by modifying his tactics in accordance with the enemy situation may be said to be divine. Of the five elements, water, fire, metal, wood, and earth, none is always predominant. Of the four seasons, none lasts forever. Of the days, some are long and some are short, and the moon waxes and wanes. That is also the law of employing troops. Malefica Sentius and myself, Sean Surplus, talking with Adrian, a caller that likes to call in frequently to the broadcast, and I absolutely adore that because more people should call in. We're getting an outside opinion, an outside fact here and there from Adrian, and I really just love it. So always, you're welcome, Adrian. Yeah, I mean, there was a picture that actually said, below the one I was talking about before the break, that, for instance, there was a little boy getting a smacked bottom saying, this is what created white Western civilization. And below that, there was a whole heap of young hoon looking kids with headbands and earrings and everything like that saying, and this is what destroyed it. And what it really meant, it wasn't about the kids being the bad ones. It was about the parents. The parents were not doing their job. Now, before we discuss this any further, I want to play a clip that Maleficus, it was a conversation that Maleficus and I were having. And one of the things I did was record what I was saying to him. I want to play this because it really plays into what we're discussing, Adrian. So I'll play this now. It's like these kids don't have fucking parents. Where's the parenting, for fuck's sake? Seriously. It's like they don't have a parent. See, me as a parent, I've always said to the kids, no, you don't talk like that here. Don't call me bro. Don't call me brah because you heard it in school. Don't you dare. Right? You either call me sir, dad, right? Or don't call me anything at all. Oh, it fucking sickens me. Where's the fucking parenting gone? Oh, well, I think they should have the right to do whatever they... Oh, fuck you. You're not a parent. You're a failure. And I do really... So the clip is over there. I do really find those parents failures, Adrian. You know...
Oh, no, they do. But what I'm... I'm not defending what happens, but I'm pointing out that for someone, a professional man, a solicitor or a lawyer, anyone like that, a teacher, if he reacts in the way traditionally parents would have behaved or school teachers would have behaved in school, then he loses his job. Now, that's a pretty sobering thought. And not only that,
yeah,
he not only loses a job in that school, he can't go to any other school. He loses his career.
Yeah.
And he gets no defence from his trade union or also people by politically correct type. So that, it's a very frightening sort of experience.
It really is. It really is. I wholeheartedly agree with you, sir. You know, you're stuck in this really bad circle, where, yeah, if you do the right wrong thing and everything, like, it's worked for me in the media as well. I did a bit of voice work for a few stations when I was working mainstream. And they put me off because they found out that I was a racist and a self-confessed racist. So they put me off. I lost my job. And that was it. It was done. I didn't lose my job per se. What they said is, you can choose to quit, but if you don't choose to quit, we're going to fire you. So I chose to quit. I chose to say, right, I'm out of here. Okay. Because at least then I might have a little bit more of a chance of getting a job somewhere else. If I quit, it doesn't go so badly on the resume. But, you're absolutely right. You know, these people are put into a corner. It's a lot like the doctors at the moment when it comes to COVID. You know, a lot of these doctors want to say something, but they can't, because if they do, they're going to get fucked. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah. So it's to do with these liberal laws, really, that have been brought in over the last 60 years. I mean, just thinking of prisons, for example, it's all over the place, really. A prison warder, those running a prison, if you've got prisoners on the roof demonstrating and tearing off the roof, in those days they'd have fired a hose at them until they came down. Someone would have fallen down, perhaps. But now there'll be a terrible inquest, and the person that ordered the squirting of the hose on the prisoners on the roof, he will be certainly losing his job. And probably most of the prisoners as well, prison officers as well, they would lose theirs. So everyone's afraid to take the action that needs to be taken for fear that they will experience the penalty. And the same goes with children, for example. They bullying in schools, a lot of bullying in school goes on. My own grandchild, she was being mercilessly bullied by a girl who was really almost sick, ill, in fact, I think. She would go up to any girl in the class and sort of pull their hair and shout at them and generally be very disagreeable. And my granddaughter was really quite frightened of her. So in the end, my daughter took her off to a private school, and they now pay a fortune in fees. And really, the school itself, in years gone by, would have handled the situation. The little girl herself would have been expelled, and that would have been that. But now, it's very difficult to even expel a child from school. And if you did it more than once or twice, the school governor, the head of the school would yourself be in trouble.
I took my daughter out. Adrian, just to let you know, I took my daughter out of school. I took her right out of school. I said straight out. She said, "Dad, I really don't want to go back to school. I've had really bad experiences on so many levels." And I said, "Oh, pardon me."
Yeah.
I said, okay, let's discuss those levels. And I won't go into detail. That's between her and I. But I will say this, that the levels of things that went on there, not just when it comes to the sexual talk, but also, being bullied and stuff like that, I said, right, I'm pulling you out, and I've not put her back in. Now, they were trying to get me on truancy laws. They were trying to say, all right, well, you're going to get done by truancy laws. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm simply not. You know, you can do what you think you have to do, but it's just not going to work. And it hasn't worked, because I understand that all rights reserved. All rights reserved. You know, we were born of either God or either evolution, or we were born of something that we don't understand, and all rights reserved. No Thank you. So we've had no problems. I've guarded this really well. She's working with me at a motel. So, you know, this whole, I understand everything that you're saying all too well.
But the problem with that is, for many, many parents, it would be very difficult to educate them. You are well educated, I think, and probably could handle the education yourself. But even so, it's very time-consuming, and not many parents would feel able to educate their child.
Well, that's because and I hate to keep interrupting you, but you're so interesting that I have to. What happens is that's because that. You know, these parents have been trained to believe that they both parents have to be out working, when really what it should be about is the man out working, bringing back the bread, and the woman bringing up the children. Now, if the woman was bringing up the children, she'd have plenty of time to educate them herself. But it's no longer allowed, and a lot of these women don't understand it. That because feminism has raped them, they're basically saying, "Well, I can't be home just looking after the children. I've got to be out working too." And I'm going, "No, you don't. You don't. That's the thing. You need to be at home with your children. It doesn't matter whether it's 5 children or 10 children or 19 children. You need to be at home with them, educating them and doing everything yourself that way. It's not a hard deal. It's not as hard, Like if I take a look at my nan and my pa, there was 9 children in that household and they did it well. They taught them how to do their own gardening. They taught them how to do their own education when it comes to reading books of in history, but proper history, the whole lot. So, you know, it's what this is about is the Judaism molestation of history and everything like that. They've rewritten history to the likes we've never seen. And then you've got the whole nigger aspect, because the Judaism aspect to it comes into creating divide and conquer. All right, well, yous are here now in America or in the UK or in Australia, and now you have to go against the white man, rah, rah, rah. And then all of a sudden you've got the whole affirmative action. You've got the white guys going out there and saying, oh, no, we've got to be kind to the idea that a woman can be a brickies labourer. No, we don't. We really don't.
But, it's the laws that keep. It always comes back to the people you put in charge, doesn't it? Really.
Yeah.
They're the ones who make the laws, and although you can defy them, it's quite a heavy price to pay. Because after all, being realistic about it, most people or many people could not educate their children to secondary school levels. From their own knowledge. I mean, I could too in some subjects, but I couldn't in others. And, you know,
yeah.
you have a school because you want them to be taught by people who know what they're talking about. And,
yeah, but by the way, Adrian, if I can say just quickly, I was not educated. I dropped out when I was 14 years of age. I educated myself. Oh, so I was educated, but I educated myself. I wasn't educated by the school in the end because, and I truly believe that if we can educate people to be able to educate, then we're going to be free. So, for instance, if I come across a person that says, well, I can't educate my own child, you know, if I come across a woman that says, I can't educate my own child, that's what schools do, I say, no, you can. I'm going to educate you to be able to educate them. That's what I think where the key lies, where you actually educate the parents to be able to educate their children. Because as you said, a lot of them don't know how to educate. So what we've got to do is educate those people to be able to educate.
Yeah, well, okay, if you can. But I mean, let's face it, I don't know any Latin. My children are learning it, one of the kids is learning it at school, you see, so... You know, or mathematics, or science, or physics. Not many people can actually, you know, they don't know how to speak French, German.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
You can't. Well,
you can do it. You can pull it off. I've done it
but not many will want. That's why.
No, I know. Well, and the reason they don't want to is because they become lazy. They've been trained by. a new white Western civilization. We're coming up to another break, Adrian. You can hang around if you want. Right. What happens is up next is the cunt of the week, and it's Maleficus's turn, which will be pretty cool because he hasn't really spoken a lot at the moment. So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Maleficus Sentius and Adrian and myself. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm a social justice warrior. I believe that multiracialism is great. Yeah, it's great. Yet I'm the first one to complain when a jihadist bumps somebody or runs somebody over. I make all the sense in the world because I'm a social justice fucking retard. Retard.
You are listening to Two's Company, Three's Allowed, a.k.a. TCTA. This is, of course, brought to you live by the one, the only, WTFR. It's time to bring on the racism, ladies and gentlemen. At one stage, it was not merited, but in this day and age where we need to preserve race and culture, it is indeed time to bring on the racism. It's time to man the fuck up.
But when you step out of those areas into like places like where I'm living now, which is a bit more upper class and a bit nicer,
paradise.
Yeah, there's no black people here. There's and that's what I mean. You see,
the influence of them passes to the. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
If you take a look at the statistics after the White Australia policy went bye-bye,
yeah.
And we started integrating. At one stage, we had the Aboriginals in the desert and doing their own thing, and then we also had.
1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.
107.9 FM.
WTFR.
Wimbledon is free.
And now it's time for the cunt of the week.
Who are you fucking calling cunt, cunt?
Yeah, what did he say, cunt?
He said, you fucking cunt.
Well, you fucking cunt. Who are you to say to him that he was a fucking cunt?
Oh, what do you fucking think, mate? I'm fucking defending my fucking self.
Well,
not?
No, he come up to you, call you cunt. That's yeah. Fair enough. Or he said, you fucking cunt. And you said back to him, you fucking cunt.
Well,
what do you expect him to say back apart from you fucking stupid fucking cunt?
Well, I don't expect nothing, do I?
He's a fucking cunt. Yes, he's a fucking cunt.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company, Three's Allowed. We are in the cunt hour. And we love the cunt hour. We really do. We've been speaking with the good Adrian over there in the UK. We've got Maleficus Sentius. We've got Sean Surplus here with a toothache of the likes you've never heard. Behind the scenes there, as the break was going on, I was literally sitting there going, oh, my God, it's killing. I've just rubbed a bit of whiskey in it. I've drunk a bit of whiskey. I'm going to get more drunker because otherwise I just won't be able to handle it and I'll have to take my leave. So I'm just going to get drunker and hope to God that I can wing this out. Now, we had a person in the chat room saying that, Von Curtis wants to call in. Now, I don't know whether you're from America, Australia or the UK. But as Jewbanker has done right there, he's put the call-in lines. But just to get the call-in lines out there, the American call-in line is 512-333-2191. That's 512-333-2191. We've also got the UK line, 02392-16-1169. Let's do that again. 02-392-16-1169. And we've got the Australian line, 02-80-91-6971. 80-89, 9169 71. So give us a call by all means and let us know what's on your mind. Now, let me get this all back up and running. Okay, for some reason the chat rooms keep shutting down. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, it's been doing that for me as well. Also, I've had a little bit of trouble getting onto the site in order to get the call lines. It could just be my connection, but I'm not having a problem speaking or hearing you guys.
No, so. it's not you. It's Maleficus. I just tried to get on the site as well, and it took me a while to get the call-in lines up there. So someone's attacking it, basically. Someone's doing a flood attack. And it's just something you've got to put up with for a while. I mean, WordPress on the cloud works with it pretty well. It will come back, but the thing is, sometimes you're pretty much going to get wiped out. Yeah, by all means, give us a call and let us know what's on your mind. Okay, so the cunt of the week, Maleficus. Who is the cunt of the week?
The cunt of the week this week is Dr. Pete Calverley. He's the 60-year-old chief executive of Barchester Healthcare in the UK, one of the largest healthcare providers in the UK. And not only in 2019 did he double his pay to £2.2 million a year, which is more than 100 times more a year than any of his frontline care staff on minimum wage get.
Wow.
Which is disgusting.
Yeah.
He also, there's many reasons he's a cunt, but one of the reasons he's a cunt is I can disclose that I work for his company. I won't say exactly where.
Right,
but
yeah.
I work for his company, and I now stand to lose my job if I do not get vaccinated within the next 2 months. Yeah. I will quote from one of the letters that we've been sent out here. We truly believe that having the vaccine is the right thing to do, and as such, on Monday, the 22nd of February 2021, Barchester's executive board reviewed our position in relation to part two of the COVID-19 vaccine policy. Part one they've rolled out, and they hinted towards what they might do, but they said they might have to take measures in order to protect staff members and residents that refuse to have the jab. This is what they're doing to protect their staff members. Okay, so having taken all thoughts and considerations into account, we can confirm that 2 months notice for the COVID-19 vaccine policy has now been given in advance of its implementation. In essence, this means that in 2 months' time, no one will be rostered for shifts at a Barchester care home or hospital without either having had a COVID-19 vaccine or an approved exemption. So there's more waffle there, but you can see where this is going. They won't sack anyone. They just won't give them any shifts.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you a personal question? And if you don't want to answer, of course, because we're on air, don't answer it.
Yeah, that's
fine. Yeah. The personal question is this. Where does your missus stand when the fact that, I mean, and I think this is important to answer, but if you can't, then don't answer it. Where does your missus stand when it comes to you not wanting to get vaccinated? Does she sort of stand in the way where, okay, well, I want you to get vaccinated so that you can continue making money and bring back the bread, you know, for the household? Or is she sort of understanding of that? This is one of the biggest questions I have, not just for you, but for everyone that has a partner. Where do we stand when it comes to a partner saying, possibly saying, you know what? I want you to get that vaccination because otherwise you can't bring back the bread. You're going to lose your job, rah, rah, rah. What say you, Maleficus? I mean, you don't have to answer it if you don't want to.
No, I can tell you, I can tell you exactly what the score is. My other half, is appreciative of my studies and my passions in life. And I think everyone who listens understands where I'm coming from. So she's appreciative of it, but doesn't tries not to get involved in it, which I think is a good thing, because I've said quite often on the broadcast, she helps keep my feet on the ground in many ways.
Yeah.
She's very family orientated. She's a nest maker. She's wonderful. Right. So she understands exactly where I'm coming from with the vaccinations.
Right.
She also works within the care industry. It's a much smaller company, but what gets rolled out on one of the biggest companies in the UK is going to get fucking rolled out elsewhere. I dare say Pete Calverley is probably a fucking handshake man. And it's the guys in his lodge who said, come on, Pete, you've got an example to set. You know, so with regards of she's been on the fence about having this vaccination herself because she knows that it's coming. And she's been basically carefully placing herself at the back of the queue.
Yeah.
Metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, no, and, I hear you. Yeah.
So I am in a lucky enough position to have friends in the building trade, electricians. I've been a gardener, as you know, for many, many years. So I have the option of going self-employed, either with these other people or on my own.
Yeah.
I'm not so much worried about bringing in the pennies. I'm more worried. I mean, I'm going to be staying with Barchester until they give me that letter that says, they're not going to offer me any more shifts. And I'm at exactly the same time going to turn around and say, what about this fucking contract here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm contracted for a certain amount of hours. Are you still going to pay me those or what? So I'm staying there out of interest. I could leave tomorrow.
Right. Gotcha.
And go into other work. But that's a privileged position. Right?
Yeah. You know the beautiful thing about it for me? The beautiful thing about it for me is that you do have that option to go into your own work, as I've done in the past. You know what I mean? I didn't just go into my own radio work. I also went into my own IT work and everything like that. I did some coding and some scripting for many different companies. The beautiful thing about it is that you can actually say goodbye. But in the meantime, until you say goodbye, you're thrusting it in their face to say, hey, try and prove this to me about COVID. Yeah, I want to see that.
I have been on Zoom meetings with these people.
Yeah.
And this is the funny thing, right? You know, we haven't covered it on this broadcast, but Andy's covered it quite extensively on his, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, is the Pfizer log of adverse drug reactions. I think we're up to now 197 deaths and something like 77,000 adverse reactions.
210.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Listen, after the last Zoom meeting, which I had with Pete Calverley, right?
Mm. Yeah.
He refused to answer some of my questions. Other questions he answered. But, you know, he called the meeting off just as I said, Roy, if I can say my body, my choice about abortion, why not about a vaccination? It still involves another life.
Yeah.
You know, because this is that cognitive dissonance coming in for everyone. Oh, that's different. No, it's not any fucking different.
It's not even fucking different. You're absolutely right.
Well, so he shut down the meeting at that point.
Jesus.
Now, we were supposed to have another meeting. On the day that I got this bit of paperwork, we were supposed to have another meeting. And my boss came out to me and I said, I take it you don't want me to sit in on this because I'd sent her and head office through the Pfizer log. And I said, I take it you don't want... you don't want me sat in on this meeting this morning. You haven't asked me, and I've just says on this bit of paper here that it's coming. She looked at me and just blankly said,
keep that thought, Maleficus, keep that thought, because I want to continue this conversation when we get back. Two's Company Three is allowed, ladies and gentlemen. The second hour coming up. Sean Surplus with a massive fucking toothache, and it's rising up into my fucking forehead. Maleficus Sentius, I think Adrian's still on the line, and there's somebody else that is indicating that they want to call in as well. We'll be right back. FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York.
Even before the first colonization of white people, come coming to the shores of Africa or the slave ships, black men built nothing. No sewer system. No houses above one level. And none of them made out of stone. All of them made out of grass and wood. The people who ran the nation are now leaving the nation because black folk don't know how to run no nation. You talk about the Hutus and the Tutsis. Look what's going on in Zimbabwe now with Mugabe. We got a problem, black folk. And forget about Zimbabwe and South.
WTFR.
Welcome to Two's Company, Three's Allowed, with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the New World Order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company, Three's Allowed, brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, where thought is free radio. Top of the second hour. I'm pretty sure we've still got Adrian on the line. We've got Malefica Sentius with us, of course, and myself, Sean Surplus, with a toothache that is just kicking my fucking ass. I don't think it's the booze that's making me drowsy as much as what it is, the actual pain. Whoa. You know, it's a terrible thing. You know, I'm a grinder. What can I say? I grind my teeth during my sleep, and it's really kicking my ass. But we've got, if I pass out, Maleficus is here. You know, so by all means. All right.
I say, don't be doing that to me again, you bastard.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
You don't get off that easy, sunshine.
It's been pretty terrible for you, Maleficus. You know, first we had to deal with the fact that my mother passed away while we were on air, and you had to take over. Then you had to take over while I was going to take a piss, and there might be a time where, because my tooth is acting up so badly, you might have to take over. This broadcast is really degenerating badly. It's like, but what can I do? You know, I find it fascinating that I can even laugh, when I've got this tooth pain that is just immeasurable. You know, like you said once on the broadcast, actually twice on the broadcast, that you had a friend that said you really don't understand the levels of pain until the levels of pain go away once they pull those teeth out or whatever. And that's what I'm going through now, I dare say. It's really kicking my ass. Yep.
Not good, mate.
No, not good at all. Not good at all.
The whole teaching thing and the appropriation of you know, different languages and or the appropriation of different sort of cultures. When you were talking about the lack of discipline, you and Adrian were both talking about the lack of discipline in the schools.
Yeah.
Jew Banker or JB rightly in the chat room put, "Spare the rod, spoil the child." To which I responded, "Damn straight, bro."
Good on ya. Damn but straight, right. Motherfucker.
This goes back to the Rowan Atkinson clip that we played last week. And yeah, that is, when you start, you know, he was saying what we need is more discussion. We need more offence in order for society to deal with it, just like you do with childhood illnesses or COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I said at the time, wrapping people, and I think you use the phrase bubble wrap, wrapping people up in bubble wrap or in a duvet doesn't save them from anything. It just makes things hurt more when you take the when you take the covering away.
And that's a mistake. You know? That's a mistake that I made. What happens is when my daughter almost got kidnapped, the first thing I did was went out there with aggression, ready to kill, to find the person that tried to kidnap her. Because he walked up behind her, he grabbed her, he picked her up, and then the gun fell out of his bag, the bullets fell out of his bag, and Patty and Beth told me about that. So the first thing was aggression. But after that, the mistake I made was I bubble wrapped her. And to a certain degree, I still do it. It's sort of after that sort of thing happens, you look around and go, right, you know, what are people trying to do? You know, I'm just going to, Adrian, hold on. I'm going to hang up on Adrian because he's talking in the background and it could be private. Hold on one sec.
Yeah, it's probably private. So
yeah, there we go. All right. Adrian's got a habit of that. We love him to death.
He forgets he's on the radio, doesn't he?
Yeah, he forgets he's on the radio, yeah. We love him to death. But anyway, what happens is, I did get to that bubble wrap state, and I still partially am. When I'm walking down the street now, after what happened to her, and some dude that is like 30 years of age that is looking at her in certain ways, I'm bubble wrap. I'm sort of like, dude, she's 15. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. And don't get me wrong. I understand that men look at women and girls and everything like that because that's a part of their instinct. But no, she's 15. You know what I'm saying? So I'm bubble wrapping that way. But you know, that's what being a father is. You know what I mean? Like, being a father is protecting him from somebody that's just going to come along and do something to them that you would much rather... Let me put it this way. You would much rather some dude come along and bring them into a relationship, not sex. You know what I'm saying, Maleficus? Like,
yeah.
It's got to be a relationship, not sex. It's not just this whole thing like, I'm going to come and fuck you and then fuck off. No, thank you. You know what I mean? I would like to think that some boy is going to come along. You know, she's 15. I would like to think that some 15-year-old boy would come along and say, I really want to court her, not have sex with her until everything is ready. That's what I like. But when you get these 30-year-old fucking dudes that are sitting on trains and looking at her in a way because she's very leggy and she's very tall, that's not okay with me. When they start looking at it that way, then why shouldn't I get up and go, hey, motherfucker, she's 15. Fucking turn your head or there's going to be shit happening, you know?
Like Von Curtis said in the chat room, there's looking and then there's looking.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. There's looking and then there's looking. You know, it's one thing to look and think, oh, she's a beautiful girl, and then go on their way. It's another thing when they're sitting there going like, that's when I have a fucking problem. You know, and you can see it. You can see it. It's fucking hell. It's going to be the death of me, Maleficus, I tell you. You know, some dude's gonna, look at it the wrong way, and I'm just gonna walk up, fucking bam, bam, bam. It's gonna be over.
You'll be the ironic thing though is you'll be had by the Darwin law because you'll be like, I'm not fucking having that, and storm across the road to go and have him and get hit by a bus.
You could be right. You could be right. Yeah. Fucking hell.
Sean and his tunnel vision.
Yeah, it's so like, hey, stay the fuck away from my dog. Boom! Get hit by a fucking bus. Yeah, I know. But it was, you know what? At least I would have been hit by the bus for the right reasons. Oh, shit. Maleficus just goes fucking silent. I don't know why. He just goes silent when one of the best jokes was told. And he goes silent. Where the fuck are you? Oh, he's gone. Holy shit. All right. Maybe the network is gone. Let's have a look. Malefica, see you there. Shit. All right. We've lost Maleficus. Let me have a look at the chat room. Let's have a look. Okay. I'm not sure what's going on there. JB, can you tell me whether you can hear me or not in the chat room? Because it looks like we've been... looks like we might have been lost. Okay. Well, in the meantime... Okay, let's see. We'll get to the cellulite boxing in just a moment. I just want to see if people are still hearing me. Okay. So you can still hear the stream. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. When these sorts of things happen, makes things difficult. Let's see. Let's call him and see if we can get him back. There we go. All right, let's see if we can get him back.
Was it something I said?
No. Yeah, all of a sudden you disappeared. You just disappeared. I was in the chat room thinking that the whole network went down.
I can get that because I'm looking in the chat room now and people are saying, oh, I can still hear the stream.
Okay.
Has Sean realised he dropped me from the call yet?
there was no dropping. I didn't drop you. All of a sudden it just dropped. So I was like, hold on one sec. There's another call coming in. However, it doesn't want to answer. Go figure. Go figure, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, you've got to love live radio. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Let's have a quick look. Because I've got credit on the account, so I could call them back possibly, but I don't know if they'd appreciate that.
Yeah, might be a wrong number.
Yeah. Right.
Hello, you're through to TCTA? What do you think about the niggers?
I beg your pardon. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? That'd be terrible.
Darling, there's a prank caller on the line.
Yeah. So whoever it was that was calling then, just try and call again, please, by all means. I tried to merge the call, but for some reason Skype ain't doing it. Skype
has something funny in the meantime.
Sorry?
Do you want to hear something funny in the meantime?
Go ahead.
The Dalai Lama urges others to get the vaccinated as he receives his first shot. That's very Buddhist, isn't it?
You know, he became a piece of shit when he joined the CIA. He was working for the CIA for a long time. There's actually photos of him with the CIA and everything like that. So I never trusted him. I said to my mother, because my mother went and saw him twice. And, you know, as you know, Malefica, she was Buddhist. I was really upset with that. I said, Mum, he was working for the CIA. He's not a friend of yours. Just because you're Buddhist doesn't mean that you have to be attached to the Dalai Lama. So, don't do that.
It was Von Curtis trying to call in.
Yes, the call wouldn't answer. For some reason, Skype was not answering whatsoever. Von Kurt, if you want to call back in, mate, give it a try, and we'll try to bring you in, by all means, because the more callers, the better. We want to hear from you, the people that are sitting around with us via the campfire. Okay, let's have a look. It's saying that it's coming in now, so hopefully we've got the call. Von Kurt, do we have you there, sir? Hello.
Hello. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how you doing, mate?
Hello, mate. It's Von Curtis. am I on? Am I live?
You're live. You're live.
Oh, how's it going?
Live and kicking.
Is Mal
live and kicking. Good to have you on board, old boy.
Hello, mate. How's it going? I wasn't sure whether this is am I able to just jump in, like, interrupt, or
you can jump in. You can jump in at any time.
You've bloody done it now.
Oh yeah, I didn't know whether I'd go straight on straight live or whatever. Yeah, it was just something you were talking about earlier, Sean. Hello, by the way. How's it going, mate? You were talking about people being educated, and it was something I'd actually spoken to Maleficus about recently. And it was, I don't know whether you've heard of something called the Trivium.
The what, sorry? The Trivia?
Trivium. T-R-I-V-I-U, hang on a minute, I-U-M.
Okay, Trivium. Yep, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I've actually sent a document to Maleficus about this, and basically, this is in that document, which I'm not sure if he's read yet. He's probably shaking his head now. And basically, it's the whole thing to do with people being educated and being what I've always known as an autodidact. Have you heard that term?
No.
Right, that's someone who basically can educate themselves. They have the skills to educate themselves.
Oh, okay. So what I was talking about earlier, where I had to educate myself once I got out of school, I knew that I was going to be left behind, so I ended up educating myself. So in fact, I actually was educated, but I was educated by myself. Yeah, go ahead.
You obviously just had those skills already, as does Maleficus. So I had to kind of... I came across this term because I used to work in education. I worked in the primary school for 10 years, and I used to use this in the playground to sort of like settle disputes, you know, just silly little stuff really, but it was relevant at the time. Anyway, the Trivium is based around a classical education that all people with money would have had, whereas the general populace would have been given a general education. It's all in that document. It's all in that document that I sent Mal. But basically, it all works on the premise of knowledge. So you take in, you learn to take in information, to listen to facts, not be offended, all that shit. Just, you know, just take stuff in objectively, and then you learn logic. So you learn to process the information, and then once you really have learnt something, you're then able to explain it to somebody else, which is rhetoric. So this is a classical education. It's the Trivium. It's those three things in that order.
Yeah, yeah. One question I've got for you is this, that I always like to question my callers as well, because it's not just about me... being questioned, it's about you being questioned as well, as far as I'm concerned, because we're all around the campfire.
Perfect.
Yeah. Do you sort of bring it down to, you know, class is made up of education, or class is also made up of race and culture?
Class, never really looked at it like that. Class being,
as in middle class, higher class, everything. Because one of the questions I was recently asked is via email was, you know, is class made up of race and culture, or is class made up of, you know, I guess you could say IQ and everything like that when it comes to the differences between race and culture and also education? So... that's a question to you. Now, I already think I know what the answer is, but I just want to, I love to ask my callers that question to see what they think.
Oh, that's just kind of not something I've really given much thought, so I'd have to probably think about it before I gave any kind of answer, which, you know, basically it's pretty obvious that class, you know, if you look at Oxford, for example, and all the twats that come out of there and where they've ended up, and, you know, the race, you know, you only have to look at them to realize that they're not, yeah, it's
It's okay to say it. It's okay to say it. Okay. You know, like when we look at
it's an English education, isn't it? It's so it's going to be in those kind of those classes, if you like, the upper classes. I don't know. I find it weird using any term like that, to be honest, because I just look at them as people. Just, you know, some people are just fucking born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Some people do work hard and all the rest of it. But you know, I don't know.
No. Hey, dude, that's fine. You know, I've always looked at it this way, which is, you know, you take a middle class people and you send them to Sudan Darfur and you get them to educate those in the black peoples of Sudan Darfur to be able to basically build water wells, but without the white middle class, it doesn't happen. And that's why I ask the callers what they think. I do believe it comes down to, you know, when it comes to class, you know, I can even put that aside. I don't give a shit. What I'm saying, though, is race and culture does play a big part in how things have developed. For instance, you know, we have created planes, trains, and automobiles. We have created clothes and everything like that compared to the Aboriginal peoples and everything like that. And that's why I like to ask. It's just an interesting question. And
I know what you're getting.
I'm not going to hold it against you if you don't agree with me. It's just an interesting question to see where you stand. That's all.
Yeah, I don't think I do have a stand on it at all, to be honest. I think it's the education, like for instance, I'm from Britain. So Britain is, you know, we're an educated, we've got an education system that's built up, but it's a white country predominantly. So, I can't really comment on other countries, but the figures and the facts speak for themselves, really, don't they? As far as it goes with like the education, you know, for me, it was more a case of just mentioning this trivium, because I think it's so important. This is why I was talking to Mal about it. Only because it gives people the ability to be able to kind of look through things logically and clearly, and be able to express that information and pass it on to others. So if you're talking about that in the context of trying to pass on information to other people, then it pays that everyone with who seeks the truth, if you like, has a system for doing it. So it's also interesting that why are they starving like general school why are they not providing that level of education to just the average Joe, if you like. It's a bit weird. I worked in primary school and they kind of introduced this stuff in such a strange way. But it's not done the same way as it is in private schools in a classical education.
Understood.
I'd basically recommend anyone to look up the trivium and just have a little read, because it is quite fascinating.
Okay. Yeah. Good stuff. What we might do is
I will give it more attention than I have blatantly already given it.
Yeah, you might be able to contribute. But yeah, definitely. Anyone listening, just have a look at the trivium and you'll get a gist of what its relevance and it's actually quite, you know, if people did not have these skills, they could actually cut out a lot of bullshit. For instance, the logic thing, sort of being able to see through logical fallacies, which you just look at the media full of logical fallacies. Yet no one calls them out on it because they don't really recognise it.
No, I hear you. You know what we'll do? We'll even put that in the show notes after the broadcast, like below the download note, and that way people can look into it for themselves. I'll just do it like a DuckDuckGo search, and we'll put that below the show so that people can look into it from themselves. You know. Maleficus, I want your thoughts on this. What do you know about what this gentleman is saying?
Not enough, blatantly, because, you know, I haven't actually read through all the document that he's given me.
Right. Yeah.
As with well, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's why Von Curtis had to phone in and tell you about it, because I haven't gotten round to, obviously.
Read it, will you?
yeah. I get it. The thing is, I've always been of an inquisitive mind. Always, you know, and
you
I think,
questions.
Yeah, ask questions, and you have to be, as I've said so many times before, you have to, if you enter into a conversation or a discussion with someone without the idea that your own paradigm can be changed, it's not a discussion, it's not a debate, it's simply airing your views.
Amen.
So I've always maintained that my ideas could be changed. I think that's part of it. You know, people understanding that nothing is set in stone and you always have to be objective. I mean, I've said for years, people that don't like my views on, you know, certain aspects of World War II and the Third Reich and all that stuff. Some people that don't like my views. I mean, for instance, the Holler hoax, etc., etc. I quite often say to people, look, prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know what? You'd be doing me a favor, because it would mean I was on the right side. Oh, my, you know, my forefathers were on the right side of the battle, and it was for the greater good. I hate that fucking phrase, but you get what I'm saying. So that's the thing.
I always try to prove people right. Not the other way around. So when somebody says to me, abortion is right, I go, all right, I'm going to try and prove that right. And when I can't prove it right, I go, no, you're fucking wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way you can prove abortion right when you're tearing limbs, especially in the late term, off the little baby and the head comes off and all of that shit. I can't prove that right. If I can't prove it right, so the way I do it is not to try and prove them wrong. I try to prove them right in what they're saying. And when I can't, that's when I say, no, you're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I realise who Ben Shapiro is and his relevance of his name in that. But he's a... I did watch a video which is quite entertaining, where he just ripped someone apart, absolutely ripped this sort of leftist argument about abortion apart. But we're kind of sidetracking. So.
Are you talking about the dude that did that video called where is it? We've got it here. We're going to be playing it in the third hour. The truth about Daniel Andrews.
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, in the third hour, we're going to be playing a clip, and I'm going to be pulling the brakes out so that it doesn't interrupt the clip, because it's 23 minutes. And he goes into, like, I'm not Christian, I'm not Muslim, I'm not Jew, I'm not anything, I'm not religious at all. But he has a religious aspect to it, and I can understand certain aspects of the religious points that he makes. But I can also just understand it in a way where I'm just me. I'm just Sean. So what happens is when he gets to that point, you'll hear in the clip, when he gets to that point where he says, you know, you have to have faith to understand what I'm saying. I'm thinking, bullshit. You know what? I haven't had faith since I was like 9 years of freaking age. And I understand everything that's going on when it comes to the Rothschilds, the Morgans, the Rockefellers. I don't need faith in a God to understand what's going on. But on the same token, I can embrace the porthole, if you will, that he's come through his faith to understand it himself. So it's going to be an interesting thing in the third hour. You know, the third hour is going to be an interesting one for sure, because we're going to be commenting accordingly, hence why I'm going to be bringing up the breaks. We're about to come up to a break, in fact, in a moment. You're welcome to stay around, by the way, and listen and comment accordingly if you wish. Unless we get too many other calls, but at the moment we've got none besides yourself. I want to be playing
a clip. Can I just say that the third hour is going to be interesting as well if Sean's toothache gets any worse too.
That toothache is so bad at the moment, Maleficus. I can barely talk. I'm not joking. It's kicking my ass.
I'm sorry, but I'm taking the piss a bit.
No. And you know what? I'd rather you take the piss because at least then it takes my mind off the fucking thing. You know? So, take the piss as much as you want, mate. I'm telling you, it's kicking my ass. We've gotten to that break now. After the break, I'm going to play the Cellulite Boxing Champion match. And the gentleman caller and Maleficus and myself will comment accordingly, I'm sure. We'll be right back.
This program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
Alone by a seashore at the end of day, gazes the horizon where sea winds in his face. Tempest tossed island, seasons all the same. Anchorage painted and a ship without a name.
If you haven't heard one of Blackbird Nine's shows, you're missing out on some important information, ladies and gentlemen. Get on over to Spreaker.com and do a search for Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club. Excellent information. He'll let you know what's going on behind the scenes compared to that of the mainstream media.
I draw the line when told I must pay and continue paying for something that happened over 200 years ago. Like most Australians, I worked for my land. No one gave it to me. I and most Australians want our immigration policy radically reviewed and that of multiculturalism abolished. Of course I will be called racist, but if I can invite who I want into my home, then I should have the right to have a say in who comes into my country.
Pauline Hanson during her maiden speech, making all the sense in the world.
Who made fucking who? Who made you? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Who made you? What came first, the chicken or the egg? I wonder. Anyway.
Oh, I thought you were making a reference to the World Health Organization. The who made you? Sorry?
Yeah.
Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was
the
saying.
The who made you?
Yep.
There
who
we
made
go.
You?
I like that phrase. That's a good phrase.
Who made you?
You coined that one.
Yep. That's right.
The who made you?
Yep. Exactly. Who made you?
Yeah, they might. They may well. In fact, they do regularly.
Maleficus is on top of things right here, ladies and gentlemen. There's no doubt about it. Oh, boy. So I want to play this. I was talking to Shieldmaiden behind the scenes. And again, just to let people know, I don't always like typing. I've been typing since I was 9 years of age. Literally, I started coding BASIC when I was 9. I started coding C++ when I was, might have been 18, something like that. And I even did a little bit of assembly. Assembly, the code that has been forgotten because it's too, you can't make money off assembly. It takes too long to code. So all of these gaming platforms now code in C++ so that they can make quick money. Rah, rah, rah. Yeah. Anyway, I was typing since I was a wee boy. And
a wee laddie.
A wee laddie. I was really a wee laddie. 4T equals, you remember the basic programming, Maleficus? Did you ever do it? It was 4T equals 1 to 2,000 colon next T, which means that you're just going to create a loop for 2 seconds. That sort of stuff.
No, I never did any of that.
Oh, you lazy laddie.
It was nothing to do with it was not to do with being lazy, mate. It was just simply that I was busy out skateboarding with my cap on backwards.
Oh my fucking god! That's it. All right, you got to shut the fuck up for a second. Now, what we're gonna do?
what we're gonna do, bro?
Yeah. Want some of this? Want some of this? Huh? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Maleficus, one day, I'm going to find a way where we can actually sit down and drink. We can just have a great fucking time. I'll find a way. We've got to do it.
I thought you were going to say you're going to get me in a fucking boxing ring.
Well, that too. You know what? It's a lot of fun. You mightn't think so, but it's a lot of fun. Actually, you know, no matter who wins or loses, in the end, you get out of the ring and you go, holy fuck, that was an adrenaline rush. Like, you might drop me, Maleficus. You don't know. I mean, I've been boxing for a long time, but you don't know. You might get one good hit in, which sometimes I've seen happen, where you could have something like 15 years behind you in boxing, and then just some dude just comes in with one good bam, and bam, down you go. So who knows?
As I said last week, I tend not to go for boxing matches and tend to sit and play guitar instead. So I'll just bring my guitar in and club you the fuck with that. How about that?
That sounds great. That actually sounds great. You bring your guitar, I'll hire a drum kit while I'm over there, and we're going to go hell for leather and have some fun, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
All right, so cellulite boxing, rather. Maiden and I were talking behind the scenes, and she was typing and I was talking, as all fucking ways. So what happens is, this is one of the things when I said it come to the fat fucking fatties. You know, I talk about them often enough because, you know, everybody thinks that because I talk about the fat fucking fatties the way I do, that it is a terrible thing. You don't get it. I mock the hell out of them. I play fun with them so that they actually want to go out of their way to lose some weight, because we need white people on our side. We don't want white people that are going to fucking die. Now, when you get become a fat fucking fatty, you're going to die. So that's why I mock the fuck out of him. So one of the conversations that Shield Maiden and I were having was about the fat fucking fatties. And I spoke about the cellulite boxing champions. All right, have a listen to this.
Well, no, some of them actually think they're hot that way. Do you remember Gadsden when he brought up the funneling fatties? A lot of those funneling fatties think that it's just great to be that fucking fat. And remember the skinny dude that was with her, that was helping her funnel. I mean, Jesus Christ. Yeah, there's chicks out there that actually think that they look hot that way. No, fucking thank you. Her cellulite was bigger than my whole body. I'm not joking. Her cellulite was bigger than my whole fucking body. I'm a featherweight. Her cellulite would have been a fucking middleweight boxing champion.
So there you go, Maleficus. Her cellulite.
When you say funnel, can you explain the term funneling for me?
Oh, okay. Yeah. We had a young man by the name of Gadsden on the network at the time. And what happens is he dug up these funneling fatties. What funneling fatties are is where... Don't get me laughing because I won't fucking stop. The funneling fatties are where you've got these... They put a funnel down their throat and they just pour...
Oh, right. No, like they do with geese to make foie gras.
I have no fucking idea. All I know is that these... fat fucking fatties put a funnel down their throat, and their boyfriend puts all of these proteins and everything down their throat, just pours all of the most fattening shit you could see in your life.
Like, yeah, something juicy for something juicy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and it ends up killing them. You know, I reported on one of these young girls. Oh, what was she, 30 or something like that? She died. She was bragging about how being a funneling fat fucking fatty was a great thing. Although they'd put it that way. They just say funneling fatty. I call it the funneling fat fucking fatty. The thing is, she was getting funneled every day. All of this. I know. It sounds so fucking wrong. But you know what? They deserved the death. It's terrible to say, but they deserve the death. She has this funnel that goes.
You could argue the point, mate. You could argue the point that we all have to eat a certain amount in our lifetime in order to die, and they're just doing it quicker. That's all.
Fucking big time. Fucking big time. You know what I mean? But you know what?
You were having this conversation with maids, right? Because partway through the week, Maid sent me a message saying, now YouTube is just trolling me. And it was like some dance class with a load of, like, fat black women dancing around.
Oh, she sent me that as well. Yeah.
Do you know what? She sent it to me and she was like, now YouTube's trolling me. And yeah. I sent her a message back saying, well, I think you're actually trolling me. said, mind you, I said I didn't have to sit and watch the full 40 minutes. And she was like, oh my God, you watched the full 40 minutes? I was like, no, I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, she sent me the same one. I didn't last a fucking minute.
No, I didn't last 30 seconds. But yeah, you're right. I said to her, like, I suppose I didn't have to watch the whole 40 minutes.
Like, you know. I know. Oh, it was fucking terrible. But getting back to the funneling fatties, you know, they ask for it. Yeah, but you know what? Funneling. One of the funneling fatties I saw had a cute face. And I'm thinking, you know what? If you lost all that weight, your face would be even cuter. So I'm not trying to be a cunt when I say, you know what? You just need to lose some weight. You're a piece of shit. Rah, rah, rah. Sorry?
Oh, man. The fucking fat funneling fatties. You know what? I mean, that brings a whole thing round to, and I know I've mentioned him before, he's a kike cunt. I can't stand him. I used to find him really funny, but I don't like him anymore. This Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, yeah, the piece of shit. Yeah, yeah, he's a Jew piece of shit.
Yeah, he's a kike cunt.
Yeah.
But he did actually say one joke of his that was actually funny was, what is, and in this context it certainly is, what is the fatty tissue that surrounds the vagina? Woman.
Oh, that's not funny.
It's highly derogatory, but in this particular instance, I think it's rather fitting.
Oh, when it comes to the fatties, yeah, yeah. Hey, listen to this one, Maleficus. Lying PC feelings hurt. Have a listen to this.
Well, that's how I look at it. And why should I be forced to lie? And even lying by omission, right? Why should I be forced to lie because people get butthurt on hearing the truth? I don't get it. I guess this is where I lose filters. I don't understand it. You know? So I'm going to say, oh, yes, you look beautiful, dear. I'm going to lie my ass off because...
Now, what I want to explain there is I was talking about one of the fat fucking fatties. I explained this during the broadcast when it comes to my kids. You know, the kids were with me at the time. They were only young. And that woman, that fat woman walked up and said, oh, do I look okay in this? And I thought, who the fuck are you? And who are you talking to? Are you talking to me? And then I looked around and I just went, no, you're fat. Right? So this whole thing that you're hearing now is about, why should I start lying when apparently lying is bad? Oh, but it's not when you have to be kind to people. So keep listening to this.
Filters. I don't understand it. You know, so I'm going to say, oh, yes, you look beautiful, dear. I'm going to lie my ass off because of political correctness. I'm going to lie my ass off to make her feel good. and I don't even know who the fuck she is. Or I'm going to lie by omission and just not say anything. I'm going to leave shit out. You know what I mean? No, thank you. Why should I become a liar just so everybody else's feelings don't get hurt? It's like, fuck off. I'm not going to start fucking lying by omission or otherwise because your feelings might be fucking hurt. It's just bullshit. No, thanks. I'm not going to be a liar. So when people do come up and ask me a question, I fucking answer it.
And that's where I stand, Maleficus. That clip just ended there. That's where I stand. I'm like, okay, so a fat chick walks up to me and she says, do you think I look nice in this dress? And I say, no, you don't. You're fat. You're, and not to mention, you're going to fucking die early. And then they go, oh, that's atrocious. And people that listen to this show sometimes will go, that's awful, Sean. You should have been nice to her. And I say to myself, I was being nice to her. I was actually being nice to her by saying, no, you're fat. You don't look good. I'm sorry.
You were being honest. You were being honest. And look, what would have been nicer, right? Or what would have been worse? What would have been worse would be for you to walk away, having filled her full of shit and said, oh, yeah, that you look great in that. That's wonderful. So, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then wandering off and laughing with your kids. Oh, my God, I can't believe I said that. Blah, blah. You know, she was so fucking fat. Which is nicer? Which is more honest?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's my big problem with the world. You know, when people ask me questions and then I answer them, they say, you're fucking filth. And I say, why am I filth? You better have substance, motherfucker, because, you know, there's going to be fucking problems in the next 30 seconds if you don't have substance. And then they say, oh, well, you're filth because of this, 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 this. And I say, okay, this is why I said what I said. This, 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 this. I'm just so fucking done with the lies, the deception, the fucking bullshit. So when you get a fat lady that walks over to you and says, oh, do you think I look good in this dress? Don't fucking tell her she looks good. She looks fucking disgusting. She's fucking horrible. She's like flabbering around like a fucking whale, a land whale, and you want to tell her she looks good? Stop lying. You know what? You can call me a racist. You can call me a white supremacist. You can call me a fucking hater as much as you want. At least I'm truthful.
At least you're not a liar.
Yeah.
Is flabbery a word in the dictionary?
No, I don't think so.
It should be, man. It's a fucking great one.
I think it should be in the the urban dictionary. Flabbery, yeah. Because they are. They're like blah, blah, blah. They're like flabbery, right?
All right, we get the picture.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, they're flabbery. So the thing is, like, stop lying. Stop lying to people. You know, our mothers and our fathers told us all our lives, don't lie. If you lie, I'm going to tan your ass. I will bend you over my knee and fucking bam, bam, bam if you lie. But then when I say to a fat girl, yes, you look gorgeous, sweetheart, that's lying. You know, so don't bullshit me. We're taught not to lie, so don't fucking lie. Don't fucking lie. Hey, step up to the fucking plate. Step up to the fucking plate and stop it, Maleficus. Shush. Step up to the fucking plate and tell the truth. Shame the devil, as they say. Step up to the truth and shame the devil. Walk up and say straight out, yes, you are a fat fuck. Plain and simply.
Well, I mean, you don't have to put the word fuck at the end of it, but you
yes,
are
you do.
A fat.
Yes, you do. No, if you're going to be truthful, if you're going to be truthful, Maleficus, yes, you do. Because
there's a difference between being truthful and rude. What you should really do is say, you're a fat, and then just let the sentence trail off so that they don't actually know what you were going to say. Just let them work it out for themselves. That's far kinder. And it's more educative as well.
It's more educative. Is that a word in the dictionary?
Probably.
Educative? Really? You mean educational, Maleficus? Not fucking educative.
Educative.
Whatever.
Depends how you say it.
Is it really? I'm going to look this shit up in the next break.
Yeah.
I'm going to check that shit
Don't
out.
Look too hard, will you?
Yeah, I know. I'm sure,
actually, educative, I'm pretty sure actually it is.
Well.
But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Right, that's the beauty of it. You know what? We've got to be wrong to be educated. We've got to be right to be educated. That's the beauty of it. Well, it's true, isn't it?
Do you know something? Maids has just sent me a message. She said, step up to the plate. I think they need to step away from the plate.
Oh, whatever, Maids. Yeah, isn't it funny? Isn't it funny that she comes up with this shit while we're doing the broadcast rather than behind the scenes? Whatever, Maids. Eat me. All right. Well, don't eat me, but yeah.
Well, I think it was just an observation. I don't think it was against
I was just... Hey, come on now. I'm being facetious. She knows what I'm like. She has to put up with me almost every day. We speak often and always, and love her for it. There's no doubt about it. Hey, check this one out, Maleficus. Lying PC feelings hurt. Have a listen. Oh, did I play that one? No, I didn't.
Not yet.
Well, that's how I look at it. And why should I be forced to lie?
Oh, yes. I did. Yeah, yes, I did play
and
that
even
one.
Even lying by omission.
Oh, fuck off. Yeah, no, I played that one. Yeah. So, yeah, no, but I do want to reiterate that. Why should I be forced to lie because of other people's hurt feelings? So I'm being told all of my life, no, don't lie, Sean. Don't lie. Don't lie. Lying is bad. Lying is bad. Lying is bad. All of our kids are being told lying is bad. But then, all of a sudden, we've just got to be nice to people. And that takes to lying.
Don't mention the Holocaust.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. Yep. No, you're absolutely right on that one. Now, before we get to the next break, I want to play this one, Maleficus. The Aussie Open crowd's boo vaccine rollout. I think this will...
Okay.
Yeah, this will really create a good conversation point and hopefully a good truth coming from both of us saying, fuck you to the government and everything that comes with it. Let's have a look.
Trophy ceremony for the Australian Open men's final has been marred by booing. Tennis Australia president Jane Herdlicker was forced to pause during her speech last night when she mentioned the rollout of the COVID vaccine.
Wait a second. Did they just call her Herdlicker?
I thought they called her Hoodlicker.
I don't know. Let's have a look. Because if it's Herdlicker, that's going to make me laugh my ass off because she's licking the herd.
Well, Hoodlicker's going to be even worse.
She's going to lick the herd. She's going to lick the sheeple. Hold on.
Tennis Australia president Jane Herdlicker was...
Herdlicker! It's Herdlicker. She's licking the herd. So all of those sheeple that believe in the whole fucking COVID vaccine and everything, she's licking the herd. Let's go back and do it again. This is all kinds of fun.
Australia President Jane Herdlicker was forced to pause during her speech last night when she mentioned the rollout of the COVID vaccine. She thanked the Victorian government for ensuring the tournament continued despite a hotel quarantine issue and snap lockdown in Victoria.
It's been a time of... heartfelt challenge. It's been a time of deep loss and extraordinary sacrifice for everyone. And with vaccinations on the way, rolling out in many countries around the world, it's now a time for optimism and hope for the future.
Well, the Deputy Prime Minister Michael McCormack has condemned the crowd's behaviour.
I think it was rather disgusting behaviour. I don't like booing at any event and certainly any sporting event, but Jane Herdlicker, of course, her involvement with Tennis Australia, making that speech last night, mentioned vaccines and got booed. Well, that's not Australian. I'm sorry, that is just
They always do this. They always do this motherfucking thing where if it doesn't agree with their politics, they say it's un-Australian. Every fucking
time.
It's
un-Australian. Well, actually, I've heard this clip before and I think the person that posted it, I said to them, were they implying then that it was all the non-native immigrant Chinese that were in the audience that were booing?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, is that well, what, is well that hold on a second.
At? Maybe it was a political statement, mate.
Well, hold on a second. What about the Aboriginals? The Torres Strait Islanders? All of those that were booing in the audience? Is that un-Australian? You know what I mean? Like, so there could have been some fucking Abbos sitting in the fucking audience saying, boo, you know what? We're here for a tennis game. We're not here to hear about politics and fucking COVID. And then these Abbos go like, boo, alongside the whites. Oh, is it then? Fucking un-Australian? Hold on a second, motherfucker. You've been telling us as a politician for so long that it's fucking Australian to be an Abbo. Fuck you. Jesus fucking Christ, un-Australian? Just because they came to see a fucking tennis match, wanted to see their tennis match without all the politics, without all the bullshit, the whole fucking lot. Fuck yeah. You, stick it up your fucking ass.
Yeah, yeah, she can definitely have my share of the vaccines.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, yep, absolutely.
Anyone that advocates this shit, do you know what? Anyone that advocates this shit, and when we find, when it becomes public, as everything becomes public in the end, because they let it, because that's their way of saying, well, had you there, didn't we? Yeah, fuck all you can do about it now. Like all the shit about all the nonsense on the death certificates, that's all coming out now, you know? It's, you know, and it's just there to fucking rub our noses in it. When all this shit fucking comes out, the vaccine is fucking poison, any of these cunts that advocated it, as far as I'm concerned, should be designated as many doses as they helped advocate.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen, Maleficus. Yep. They need to be the first ones to put their fucking arm out. You know,
yeah, for everyone's for so if 20,000 people got vaccinated on account of them being going all public with it, then there's fucking 20,000 vaccines that they have to take, as far as I'm concerned.
Amen. Amen.
Fucking right.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. I would love to see that. I would really love to see that. Just to hear the boos for me was yes. You know what I mean? You know, when you put the fist up in the air and you just go, yes, fucking yes, they're booing.
There were a few people in there whistling as well, like, Ray! Not many. I mean, the boos were a hell of a lot fucking louder.
The boos outweighed Ray. Yeah, the boos... Go ahead.
You always get some fucking idiot there that's going, oh, yeah, I'm caught up in the moment, and I'm going to shout, yeah, or whistle or something. But... You know, you always get idiots like that, but there's no telling how much they actually fucking messed with that audio either. There might have been no fucking whistles, you know, because anyone listening to that, it's a mainstream bit of news. Anyone listening to that is going to go, oh, well, there was some cheering in there as well.
I can attest to that.
All the Chinese. There were some Australians in there too.
I can attest to that. I can actually bolster that. Is what I mean. What happens is I'm an audio engineer and I've done voiceovers for cartoons, and I'm not going to go into what detail, you know, I'm drunk and I don't want to go down that road. But the thing is, I've done voiceovers for cartoons. I've done voiceovers for classical stations. I've done voiceovers for rock and roll stations, the whole lot. Where they have like either some cartoon or something like that, and they get me to actually sit there and say, you know, what you're listening to, if I'm not riding kangaroos, I'm listening to rah, 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 classics by request. And they put it in this cartoon or something like that, or they put it in behind someone else's voice. So I can say straight out that that's how easy it is. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been had, and we don't want you to be had anymore, but we're coming up to the third hour, at which point we're going to be playing a clip that I think that you are really going to enjoy. Stay tuned, by all means. 97.9 FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York. Ladies and gentlemen, the difference between the different Aussie slangs. Say that three times fast. Normal slang, how are you going? Yobbos, scan on. You know, how you going? Then you've got Kath and Kim. Yeah, right, Mum. Yeah, right. And, of course, you've got the Howzos. Smell those fish and chips. Oh, Lynn, can we go and get some? Get your mocha skins on. Then, of course, you've got the truck drivers. Yeah, when we get to the pub, mate, yeah, pull up a pew, grab a beer, you know, have a bit of a talk. And, of course, the worst of all, the poofters. Yeah, like, absolutely.
WTFR.
Welcome to Two's Company Three's Allowed with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the new world order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
Two's Company Three's Allowed, ladies and gentlemen. The top of the third hour with Malefica Sentius and myself, Sean. We've had a great couple of callers call in during the broadcast. I want to tilt my hat to them, by the way, because they're brave enough to do so. We need more brave people. Unfortunately, we just don't have that, and it's really upsetting. I am going to kill the brakes, and I'm going to be playing a clip that is going to last pretty much most of the rest of the broadcast, given that even though it's 23 minutes, Maleficus and I will be stopping and starting and commenting accordingly, so it will take up most of the last hour. But I really do want to tilt the hat to Adrian and what was the gentleman's name, Maleficus, please?
Von Curtis. Yeah,
Von Curtis.
He spends a bit of time in the chat room each week as well. So he's not new to the show, if you get what I'm saying.
There we go. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you for calling in, because you show other people how to be brave and just call in and discuss things with us. You know, it might get heated. It might get heated one day where we have something to say and we get back and forth and go fuck yourself, rah, rah, rah. But it doesn't mean that we still can't sit down by the campfire. That's the way we function here.
To All be right. fair, I mean, we do need to give out the numbers a bit more often to give people a chance to phone in, unless they're visiting the website. You know, it's difficult for any of the listeners on FM or AM over in Jimmy X's neck of the woods. You know, difficult for them to actually know what the numbers are, unless we should probably read them out a bit more often.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. What I might actually do is even make a break where it brings the numbers up, so that people can hear it at a random value, just in case I forget. Because I do forget that stuff. You know, Maleficus, you've always been the one to be able to get into the chat room and get the numbers out there more than me. So, maybe something has to be done. Because, you know, like I said, I've got 50,000 things that are going on in the background here. And I have to keep on top of it all. So, yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah.
Curtis says we need a jingle.
A jingle? Oh.
A jingle.
He wants a jingle? I can give him a jingle. Hold on a second. I can give you a jingle. Let me see here. Just one second. Bear with me. I can actually give you a jingle. Let me see.
He meant the phone numbers, I think.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I didn't know what he meant by that. But a jingle in radio means something that's just going to be playing in the background in a very small fashion. So I'm just going to give him a jingle.
On the wild and misty hillside, fear is nature's warning. Hunger here is never far away. And all of this world is for children who play. Days that never end always should remain.
Yes, there's a jingle for you. So, a jingle...
I could barely tell the difference between you and her.
Oh, fuck off.
Something while all that was going on, just let me bring up something that Michigan Goy has brought up in the chat room. Have you heard you can self-identify as vaccinated under a liberal government? It's all right, Sean. We identify as vaccinated, so we can do whatever we want.
I can fly again.
Fucking great point.
Yeah.
I'm not vaccinated, but I identify as such.
Yep, there we go. Instead of wearing the whole little badge that says I'm exempt, I'll just wear self-identify as vaccinated. Fuck 'em.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's a jingle for you. So to help people understand what a jingle is when it comes to radio, a jingle is just basically something that will ring in the background to pass time to make a break. So you're basically just having a small, like the one you just heard, you know.
Yeah, we need one with the phone numbers over the top, I reckon. So
yeah, I do. Maybe yeah, I think we do.
Get together and work on that over the week. I don't mind lending my dulcet tones to the British one, at least, so that people understand it over here.
You know what we need? What we need is both you and I, Maleficus. So, for instance, you'll say, if you want to call into the UK, blah, 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 there's the number. And then I'll say, and if you want to call into Australia, blah, 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 blah. And then we'll have Shield Maiden come in and say, if you want to call into the United States, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, that's a jolly good idea.
I think so. I think so. You know, if I do say so myself. Ah, not too shabby on this old bastard, hey, Maleficus? Not too shabby.
No, I'll tell you what, you're doing grand, sir. You're doing grand.
Ah, good stuff,
With the whole tooth thing. Yeah, fucking well done, sir.
I'm not doing grand with the whole tooth thing. It's fucking hurting me. It's fucking hurting. I'm not joking. It's nasty shit. Just because I'm talking doesn't make it great. I'm telling you, the thing is going throb, throb, throb as I'm talking. It's fucking awful. But I'm getting through it, aren't I? You know, the one thing the audience can't complain about. Excuse me one second. There we go. Cleared the throat. The one thing the audience can't complain about is that most of the time, with all of the fucking health problems I've had lately, I'm still here. You know, I'm still here doing the show. So you audience, right? I don't want donations. No, not at all. But I want a verbal fucking kiss. Well, from the ladies, not the men. The men can just sort of give me a handshake. But I want a verbal fucking...
There might be some men queuing up. You never know.
Just don't. So I want a verbal kiss from the ladies, just like a digital kiss from the ladies, and I want a digital handshake from the men. Yeah, because I'm hurting right now. I'm not joking. I am so fucking in pain. Not just with the gums being cut up because of the teeth that have become sharp, but also the fucking pain. Anyway, let's get through this before I fucking die. So no, we've got...
Gaylord.
Fuck you. All right, let's have a look here. We've got... Where is it? We are in the third hour. So I'm going to kill the brakes. I wanted to do the whole... Gov-funded transgender surgery for kids. Maybe we'll make it, maybe we won't. Let's see what happens.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make notes on the clip rather than stop it.
Oh, there we go. Yep, that'll work. That'll work. So let's do that, and then hopefully we'll get to that other clip as well. Where are you? Where, I tell you. No, that's not it. Shit, where the... Oh, here it is. Thank you to JB, by the way, Jew Banker. He was the one who put this video in the chat room. The only reason I'm playing it is because the people of 107.9 FM and 1650 AM, plus the hippies and other stations that cover us.
The hippies!
The hippies! Right? They don't get to hear it. So what happens is I'm going to play it now. This is the truth about Daniel Andrews.
But first up, the truth about Daniel Andrews. A lot of Victorians are reeling after the passage of the Andrews government's change and suppression bill in Victoria, and I do not hesitate to say that this is the worst legislation of its kind in the entire world. There's nothing like this really anywhere else in the world, proposed or actually in place. A lot of people say, well, you know, these conversion therapy, as they're called, bills are elsewhere, but there's nothing quite like this. This bill was criticised by the Law Institute of Victoria, which is the peak body for legal professionals, by no means conservative, let me tell you. It was also criticised by the Australian Medical Association, the peak body for health professionals, and pretty much all faith groups. Some 400 senior church leaders put their names to public statements rejecting the law. But if there's one thing about Daniel Andrews...
Now, if you do need me to pause Maleficus for whatever reason, because sometimes, okay, yeah, cool, you're thinking, I'm just going to let it go. But if you do need me to pause at any time, go ahead.
No, it's cool. I'll make notes. It's fine. Although if it gets to the point where it's really poignant, I will say, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yep. All right, cool.
It is his capacity to change nothing for anybody ever. He does what he does, and he does it with zeal. And he's gotten more and more emboldened in that over the years of his premiership. But when a man designs a law which is medically inappropriate according to the medical profession, legally inappropriate according to the legal profession, and singularly it seems targeted at imprisoning faith communities for such things as prayer, and it names prayer as one of the offences, or counselling their own children even to make them domestic abusers for doing that, or empowering bureaucrats in the Equal Opportunity Commission to police and control and re-educate faith communities, one's got to ask a question once and for all. After a number of years of this kind of stuff culminating in this law, what is it that is making Daniel Andrews tick? This is the worst attack on religious freedom, and indeed on certain kinds of people, as we'll get to, in a Western country in living memory. The only thing I can think of sitting back and racking my brains that came close would be the Scottish Named Persons Scheme, which some of you would be familiar with from a few years back, and that was ultimately struck down. And Daniel Andrews, I think he's made a feeble attempt at saying that he's a good Catholic, but actions speak louder than words, and we're going to go through his actions. This is his record. He is Australia's longest-serving major political leader. He's been in the job since the 4th of December 2014, and in 6 years, or just a tiny bit over that, he has done an awful lot. I'm going to go through some policy lowlights, not highlights, lowlights, if you like, in categories, LGBTIQ stuff, life issues, education, which is a big one for him, something on religious freedom, something on his public comments about Christianity, and just give you a picture of the man. On LGBTIQ issues, and I'm going to go from what would probably be broadly considered least controversial to most controversial. So let's start with the low-level stuff in the eyes of much of the nation. In LGBTIQ, he was the government that created the nation's first equality minister. There is a minister in his government with that portfolio, and that portfolio is housed within, and he made a big point of this, within the Premier, within the Department of Premier and Cabinet. There's also a Gender and Sexuality Commissioner as part of that portfolio, and this person is a full-time advocate for LGBTIQ plus issues within the government, right across the scope of government, and has the ear of the Premier himself. That's how a lot of these laws have come through. In 2015, the first year of his government, same-sex adoption was legalised, so that a child can be placed in a motherless or a fatherless home. Now, I have absolutely no hesitation in saying that is wrong. Absolutely wrong. There are all sorts of imperfect circumstances that can unfortunately lead to a child not having a mother or a father, but where you're trying to place a child in the best possible circumstances, it is wrong to deny them a mother and father by design.
I've got a comment on that straight away, Malefica. So I've got to say straight out, you know what? I was brought up with a mother. I didn't have a father.
Yeah.
And I've got to say straight out that that is detrimental. You know, like, for instance, you take a look at my daughter. As you know, and as the audience knows, through certain things I've said in the past, I'm a single father. But I don't wish that on her. I don't wish a single father thing on her. I would much rather have her in a situation where it's mother and father. Unfortunately, though, sometimes we just can't help it. Something's gone wrong. We've separated, rah, rah, rah. But to take a child and put them in the whole... we're just going to put them in a situation where they're going to be with two gay parents, rah, 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 rather than a mother and a father, is absolutely wrong. It wasn't that it couldn't helped to be happen. It was that they deliberately put them there. That's shits me.
I mean, what's very obvious from the word go here is that when they're asking what makes Dan Andrews tick, it's obvious. It's completely obvious what makes him tick. He's simply carrying out orders from above. So the kikes make Dan Andrews tick. It's
exactly
as simple as that.
Yeah.
The longest standing political minister? Well, that speaks volumes. LGBT advocate, same-sex adoption. You know, it's just fucking... You know... Crikey. I mean, I'd be surprised if we need to listen to any more of this clip to get a profile of Dan Andrews.
No, I know.
To be honest.
And I know. And it's going to be painful to listen to it, but I want people to hear it over 107.9 FM, 1650 AM. I want them to hear it so that they know what we're dealing with here. It's fucking terrible. I sat through the whole thing, and it was painful. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be painful, people, but the thing is, we're going to be interrupting it. I can't help myself. We're going to be interrupting it here and there just to break up its bullshit. And by God, we need to do it.
It is wrong. Initially, there were no exemptions in that law for faith institutions, like, say, the Catholic Church Adoption Agency, to ensure that children could go to mother and father homes. There was no provision for that. But through advocacy, some of those exemptions were put back in. And that sort of victory is something you only really see from the first year of his premiership. He gets more bold, and there's very little of that that comes later. In 2015 as well, his first year, he was the first premier ever to walk in a Pride March. He led the Melbourne Pride March, and he hasn't missed one since. And now in 2021, he's promised Melbourne Pride to become one of the largest LGBTQ events that there is. It's sort of supposed to be a globally significant celebration with lots and lots of events and so forth. So he's huge on the celebration of Pride issues. In 2017, he opposed same-sex marriage, the vote on same-sex marriage, I should say, because he said that the vote would unleash hate and bigotry. So that's what he thinks of those who oppose same-sex marriage or did oppose it at that time, that their views were hatred and bigotry. 2019, there was laws passed which...
Simply, just very briefly, that surmises exactly what we said earlier about wrapping people in cotton wool so that they can't suffer any detriment by things that people say. No, as Rowan Atkinson said last week, we need more speech. We need more hate-filled speech in order to have it public so that we can immunize ourselves to the stuff that is, you know, you can't be wrapping people in cotton wool and saying, you know, they can't suffer any detriment. They don't learn from it. Nobody learns from it. They just become more fucking stupid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I just pointing that out.
No, absolutely. I wholeheartedly concur. You know, it's the whole thing that I had to get over with my daughter when she was almost kidnapped. I had to get over this whole thing that, Sean, she's not going to be kidnapped every fucking day. Stop bubble wrapping her. Allow her to go out with her friends. Allow her to do this. Because otherwise, you're bubble wrapping her. She's not going to understand what life is about. So, yeah, no, I wholeheartedly concur with what you're saying, Maleficus. It's one of these things where bubble wrapping... It's death, really. You know what I mean? Like, they don't get to live.
Well, it destroys the learning process.
Yeah. Well, they don't get to live. They don't get to live. It's the same as the lockdown. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, damn right.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Yeah. It's like
not
when
only
we
are
get
we locked
locked
down, but we can't offend anyone either. I say, not only are we locked down, but we can't offend anyone either. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Let's continue this.
Said that a person can change their sex on their birth certificate whether or not they have had any medical treatment, and a child's sex can be altered on their birth certificate at will. In other words, this is a historical document that says you were born a man or you were born a woman, now you can change it as you like. I can become a woman in a moment of time, and I can change my birth certificate, and the whole world has to acknowledge it. And that kind of gender ideology is everywhere in the government. In 2020, a discussion paper was released on a whole of government LGBTIQ strategy. So they're very, very clear about the fact they want this to shape every part of what they're doing. 2021, there is a Pride Centre to be opened in St Kilda. It was a $15 million commitment of the government. And this is a government space in which to host LGBT advocates.
Now, for those of you who don't know what St Kilda is, St Kilda is a suburb of Melbourne. And it's one of the biggest LGBTQ type suburbs on the face of the planet. Not just in Melbourne, Australia, but on the face of the planet, because it's the biggest hooker suburb. You're driving down the street. Remember, I lived in Melbourne for 6 years. You're driving down the street and you see all of these different hookers, left, right, and center, and pimps squatting down in the little corners that the cowards that they fucking are. You pimps, you're a fucking piece of shit. You're a fucking piece of shit. You want to get in the ring with me? You get in the ring with me, motherfucker, and see what happens. I fucking can't stand you. All right? You're a piece of shit. Fucking taking the money from the girls that have to, unfortunately, open their legs to total strangers, and you take half the fucking money? You pimps, get in the fucking ring with me and see what fucking happens. I'll fucking show you, you fucking dirty dogs. Anyway.
The pride. I just don't get this fucking pride thing. The word pride, it's like what they do with fucking credit cards, which are debt cards.
I wasn't talking about pride.
I know you're not, but this is where, that's where the comment started from. So I'm commenting on the actual video because I haven't witnessed that. The whole pride thing, where the fuck does the pride come from? What have they achieved?
Nothing.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. So why are you so proud? They're using the word pride like they use the word credit on a credit card. It should mean exactly the opposite. You know? You should be ashamed. You wouldn't get so many people fucking going to an ashamed march, would you?
No, I know, right? Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a fucking good point. Yeah. Well, you know, you don't get people to go to a fucking straight march because there's no such fucking thing.
Well, because there's no fucking need.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, go on, crack on. What else has he got to say?
Yeah, let's have a listen.
Because also in 2021, as I've just said, we had these conversion therapy laws. He can say what he wants about them. This is what he does say, in fact. He said, some faith leaders have been critical of these provisions. When he says some, he means nearly all of them. Some faith leaders have been critical of these provisions, critical of a law to ban the worst form of bigoted quackery imaginable. This is not kindness and love or the protection of a vulnerable and persecuted group. This is not something to be proud of. This is not what I pray for. Victoria is a secular state. If equality is difficult for you, then that's on you. Okay, he says equality. He says this is bigoted quackery. He can say what he wants. The fact is that this law does things like, if a parent prayed for their own child with their child's request in relation to, say, gender dysphoria or sexual attraction, then that parent is committing a criminal offence, and that parent also is likely to become a domestic violence abuser.
Now, that's another thing that pisses me off big time, is that I'm not religious, as you know, Maleficus.
Yeah.
I'm not religious. But the thing is, to say that somehow these people need to be criminals because they pray, and in their mind, praying is a very surface level. They haven't looked into the Dead Sea Scrolls. They haven't looked into the King James Bible. Some of them haven't even looked into the Geneva Bible. So But they look into this very basic level Bible, and they say, well, oh, well, I need to pray for this, 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 this. But then all of a sudden they're going to be condemned for doing so. These people are not really religious. They are borderline, I just want to do the right thing by God, but they don't understand what the fuck the concept is of God. So they get down on their knees at night by their bed and they say, I pray for the Lord my soul to keep. You know, our Father who art in heaven, rah, rah, rah. But they don't understand anything of it, really. It's just a thing to think that when I'm dying, I want to save my soul. So these fucking assholes outside of that use that against them. They use that whole fucking concept of God against them, which really pisses me off. Even though I'm not religious, it pisses me off that these outside fucking pieces of shit fucking agency cunts use it against them. And I'm like, okay, they're religious.
They're saying it in that way to belittle the religion itself.
Yeah, yeah, of course. They're trying to get, well, they're not doing it to belittle religion. Religion as a whole, remember, is Christianity, Judaism, it's Islam, it's all of this. They're doing it to belittle Christianity, not belittle religion. So when these fucking Jews are actually saying that we as a religion or a cult or whatever they want to fucking call themselves, we can belittle you, but you can't belittle us. I'm like, fuck you. You know, Christianity, it came through the other side looking pretty squeaky clean compared to fucking Judaism and Islam and all of that. There's no doubt about it. But so for you as a person that is of Islam or is of fucking Judaism to come through and say, you don't have a right to speak because you're Christian. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, Christianity had a pretty bad fucking background, a pretty bad fucking history. There's no doubt about it. But it came through the other side pretty squeaky clean. Pretty fucking squeaky clean compared to that of the fucking pieces of shit that comes out of Judaism and Islam. So don't fucking preach to me when you come across to my country that my real religion shouldn't fucking exist. Well, not now. I'm not religious now. But the religion that I was brought up with shouldn't fucking exist when yours is still a piece of fucking shit that says you can rape 3-year-old little girls that are fucking what you call the goy. Don't do it.
Yeah. It's, you know, like we said before, it's a master-slave relationship. You know, the whole Talmud thing is a master-slave preaching that they are godly and we are not. God's chosen people and yadi fucking yah.
Yadi fucking yah. Yeah, I know. Let's continue this clip because otherwise we're not going to get through it.
In relation to, say, gender dysphoria or sexual attraction, then that parent is committing a criminal offence and that parent also is likely to become a domestic violence abuser. That's what the law actually does. Okay, so he can say what he wants, or indeed a medical practitioner who doesn't give an affirming medical treatment is on thin ice, or a pastor who prays for someone with their request. It governs the content of prayers, and it doesn't matter whether the person requests it or not, banned, potentially criminal, or indeed a whole class of Victorians who, if they were not, say, people of faith, they would call themselves members of the LGBTQ community. But they are people of faith. They want to be people of faith first. These kinds of people tend to get together and talk about this stuff. They tend to create their own support groups and things like that. Nope, all criminal. And indeed, if someone like me were to dare to refer someone to one of these groups or whatever, criminal. It just erases that.
Isn't that funny, too, that the LGBTQ are allowed to get together and speak with each other about being LGBTQ. But when we get together about being straight, oh, it's fucking criminal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, of course. Of course. That was one of the first things I ever said to my son when he was going on about the gay, what have you got against the gay pride march going on in the local town? And I was like, well, do I need a heterosexual march? You know? And I leant out, that I was giving him a lift into town at the time, and I leant out the fucking window and said, here's an example for you. And we're driving down the road, and there was, obviously nobody could hear me, but I shouted at the top of my lungs, I'm a heterosexual! I'm a heterosexual! And shook my fist out the window. And I looked at him, I said, was there any point in me doing that? And he went, no.
Exactly. No, no, Maleficus, you laugh, but that's exactly the point that I try to make every show. It's that there's no point to it. There's no fucking point to it. So why do they make it a point to us?
Yeah.
You know? Oh, know. Man. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, man. You're absolutely right.
Category of person. And, you know, the media won't tell you and the government won't tell you, but there's quite a lot of them. Gender equality strategy is something that they have released more recently. They've got a government gender equality strategy, and it is a bit of a Marxist creed. I've just made some notes here on that. It is that it attacks the fact that women do more domestic work than men. And you see this a lot, by the way. There is a pretty serious undermining of the fact that Victorians might make their families the centre of their existence. You see that a lot in the government policy. There was a thing where the government is committed, for example, to make sure that all court appointments and all paid board appointments and all government ministerial appointments are at least 50% women. And look, if family life is flourishing and healthy and it's the centre of Victorian people's lives, you actually won't get as many women in the higher echelons of the workforce. That's the way it naturally...
Boom! Boom! Fucking right there. Yep. Let's do the nigger boom, shall we? You know, it is so fucking true. What happens is if there was a healthy family, the man would be bringing back the bread. He would be out there being the brickies labourer. And he would come back and bring back the bread. And the woman would be looking after the children. See, women are nurturers. They are natural nurturers. It's something that we can't perfect as men. It just won't happen. But we can perfect going out and being a brickies labourer and then bringing back the bread, bringing back the money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's, you know what, albeit that he, at the end of this thing that you'll hear, he says that, you need faith to understand what I'm saying. I call bullshit. But the points he's making are right there on fucking point, Maleficus.
Yeah.
It works because women have babies. And if family life is to be championed, then you won't get that same level of obsession about 50-50 per se. But of course, there is an undermining of all of that stuff through the Andrews government. It bangs on about colonialism, this gender equality strategy, which is sort of Marxist terminology for a systemically oppressive society, which is the West. It bangs on about trans and gender diverse empowerment. It talks about, it attacks gendered clothing and all gender stereotypes, and it's very pro-abortion. The government has flown rainbow flags over government buildings on quite a number of occasions. I've got the list there, but I won't go through them. And here are some comments on Pride from Mr. Andrews himself. He said, Pride is not a cold acceptance. It's a celebration. And we see that. Now it's got to the point where if you don't celebrate, if you just accept or tolerate, if you don't celebrate actively and affirm to, you know, the nth degree, then you're in a...
Affirmative action.
In a situation where you're potentially... going to be end up being charged with a criminal offence or at least subjected to some kind of investigation by a bureaucracy or even the police force. That's what the Change and Suppression Bill does. So that's what he's after. And he says, if you're a member of the LGBTI community and there's someone in your life that you love, a partner or a friend, then do me a favour. Next time you're on a tram in Melbourne, hold their hand. Do it with pride and defiance because you have that freedom. And here in the progressive capital, I think I can think of nothing more Victorian than that. Now, he will never say something like that to a person of faith. Never. To go out there and actually live out what you believe. No, this is not about equality. It's not about the same for everyone. It's not about tolerating everybody. This is about pride at the expense of everybody else. That's what he's about. That's
exactly right.
Yeah, fucking right.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is very good. He's very concise and very, very quick as well.
Yeah, yeah. Him and I might not exactly... agree on everything, that's for sure, when it comes to the whole faith thing. But you know what? So many of the points he's making are right on ball. There's no way to refute it.
the whole of government agenda. They have their own minister for it. All right, what about on life? And I think this is far more, this is, well, I don't know, this is serious as well. In 2008, Daniel Andrews was actually the health minister in the state of Victoria, and that's when abortion to birth was legislated. And I mean that, abortion up to and including the point of birth. Victoria led the nation in this respect, and Andrews played a major role in getting the legislation passed. And he voted against all of the amendments that were put up against that legislation. And here are some of the amendments. Just hang on to your hats for a second.
Now, before you hold on to your hats, just got to let you know that for those of you that say, oh, yeah, but how do we educate, pardon me, how do we educate our children this way? I showed my daughter this clip last night. Get it? That's how you educate your children. You educate your children by sitting them down and allowing them to see clips like this so that they get to know what the hell is going on. I've got the hiccups. That's not good. So I'm going to have to take Shield Maiden's advice and bend over and drink some water. That sounds wrong. But anyway, it really does, doesn't it, Millie? Because of that shit.
Oh, dear. Lower chakra goes to you this week. Yeah.
Shit. So what happens is sit your children down and get them to know people like this lad that is talking now.
Put up against that legislation. And here are some of the amendments. Just hang on to your hats for a second. There was an amendment put up to require pain relief to be administered to a fetus that can feel the pain of being dismembered in an abortion. And fetuses beyond a certain gestation can, late term especially.
Now, to let you know, for you ladies that don't want to know about this, okay, I have respect for that. Don't listen to this part if you don't want to know about what happens with abortion, because it's pretty brutal. For the audience that are sitting around the campfire with us, it's not nice. Basically, they take a pair of snips and they pull the baby out piece by piece. It's not about... I know that a lot of you think that the baby gets pulled out just in one piece. No. They pull, like sometimes they pull out a leg, another leg, and then they pull out an arm and they pull off the head and all sorts of things. They murder the baby when it comes to abortion, especially when it's long term. When it's not so long term, look, I can't say whether or not it's a feeling pain. I think it probably would be. But when it's long-term or mid-term, this poor baby gets pulled out brutally. Arms coming off. So what they actually did at one stage is said, well, what we need to do is give some sort of painkiller to the baby in some way, shape or form so that it doesn't feel the pain when it's getting torn to pieces, which gives notion to the whole idea that yes, it was alive, which is why I don't agree with abortion. All right. You've got to stop this shit. You've got to stop this shit. These babies feel pain.
An abortion, and fetuses beyond a certain gestation can, late term especially. Now he voted against that, and now just to see what's going on. Each year there's several hundred late term abortions in the state of Victoria. None of those children receive pain relief, even though they feel it. In 2015, for example, 310 late term terminations took place. That was a typical year. He also voted against an amendment that would have ensured that children who are born alive, as a result of abortion, which happens from time to time, must be rendered medical care. He voted against that. And now, for example, of the 310 late-term abortions in 2015, 33 of them were born alive, and what happened? They were left to die, slowly, alone, in Victorian hospitals. This is something which happens right across the country in all states, and where states have legalized late-term abortion, there's far more of it. It's barbarous, it's disgusting. And Andrews voted against a protection for those children who are dying every year by the dozens. He voted against a ban on partial birth abortion, which is the practice of literally delivering the baby to the neck so that its head doesn't come out, and then murdering it. murdering it. Mandatory reporting of he voted against an amendment to ensure that there would be mandatory reporting of suspected child abuse victims when they came into an abortion clinic. And that happens, you know, anecdotal evidence says that happens quite a lot. He voted against an amendment that would have required the provision of information on the health risks of abortion. He voted against an amendment that would have offered women impartial decision-making counselling. He voted against an amendment that would have required the notification of the custodial parent of a child who is seeking an abortion. This is all pretty serious stuff. And he said afterwards, I'm not a Catholic health minister, I'm a Victorian health minister.
I'm not a Catholic health minister, I'm a Victorian health minister. And in other words, I think he can just get away from away with every fucking thing. Piece of shit.
So in other words, he doesn't believe that his faith has real application in the public realm, which is strange for anyone who has faith. 2015, his government was involved in the legislation of what they called safe access zones. What that included was a 100-metre buffer being created around all termination clinics, abortion clinics, where communication on the subject of abortion in a way that could be seen or heard was banned, criminal offence. Now, the government did that with all sorts of rhetoric about women being harassed, etc. That was never happening. And indeed, if a woman was being harassed or obstructed or anything like that was going on, the Victorian police had all the power they needed to deal with that. That was never a problem. But what was happening was that there was people, like a group called the Helpers, who stood near abortion clinics in Victoria and made simple offers of help, usually by passing just a piece of paper to women who were approaching the clinics to say, we can help you. Those people, those wonderful people, had been responsible for seeing more than 300 babies born alive who otherwise would have been terminated in those clinics over the course of their ministry. And now, one of the ladies who was a part of that ministry, Kathy Club, she is now a convicted criminal because she handed a piece of paper to a couple who were approaching a clinic. She's a convicted criminal because of her legacy of work of saving 300 lives. Now, that is an outrage. And the Premier knew that. They received a submission from these helpers with photographs of all the children, many of the children that had been born, stories from their mothers, thank you letters and all sorts. They read them, and some of these kids sat in the gallery while this bill was being debated, and they passed the bill anyway. They knew exactly what they were doing. Unbelievable barbarism. It just makes me angry. 2017, Victoria became the first state in Australia, unless you count Northern Territory back in 1994 very briefly, but let's, 1997, was it? Anyway, whenever it was, unless you count the brief episode in the Northern Territory. In 2017, the first state to legalise euthanasia and to currently have euthanasia in Australia. Andrews gave the Health Minister, Jill Hennessy, a big hug when that passed. Now, if you want to know what's wrong with euthanasia, go and look up euthanasia on our YouTube channel and you'll see my videos on the subject. It's all there. This is a big one, education. Education. So the Andrews government in 2015 was responsible for removing special religious instruction from schools. They took it out of class time and they said that if you want to do it, you have to do it after school and for no more than 30 minutes. At the same time, they made respectful relationships compulsory in Victorian schools. And respectful relationships is sort of a safe schools in round two, but it's more sophisticated and it includes a very Marxist idea of gender roles, very anti-family stuff, and a lot of dodgy stuff like the Safe Schools program had. It's all now embedded into the Victorian school curriculum. One provider of special religious instruction reported that in the year before the ban, for their classes, 27,000 students attended. In the year after the ban, only 1,000 students attended. Huge, huge impact on Christianity in the state. Also, regarding safe schools, which I just mentioned, the Safe Schools program, which most of you will know about, was funded and established by the Victorian government in 2010. Grossly inappropriate material was revealed in 2016 and it made national headlines. For example, kids were told to wear the uniform of their choice and those big posters with kids in the opposite sex's uniform and also told how to become political activists. Also, online resources connected with the program actually joined kids up with pornographic websites, adult shops, swingers clubs, several alternative adult online communities, organisations that hosted hands-on workshops in all things sexual.
Check that out. They actually hooked kids up with swingers clubs. And fucking
just the fact that it started off soft by them saying you can come in wearing either a boy or a girl's uniform, it's entirely up to you.
Yeah, I know.
You know, this is look.
Isn't it called the unicorn thing over there? Isn't it called the unicorn thing over there?
Yeah, and the mermaid thing.
The mermaid thing, yeah.
You know, because yeah, and the unicorns as well. But the fact is, mate, you know, I don't bring it up very often, but the fact is that this is softening up kids at the age where going through puberty and you've got all these hormones rushing around your system.
Yeah.
And, you know, some kids sort of go like some kids sort of go, oh, you know, I mean, I remember a mate coming up to me when we were, you know, when I was in primary school going, I'm a bit worried that I might turn out gay. I was like, well, if you're worried about it, surely that's a good sign.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, okay. And then years later, we laugh about it because, you know, he didn't turn out to be gay.
Right, yeah.
But,
yeah.
But the thing is, you've got all this confusion amongst kids because back in those days, back in the 80s, being gay was known about, but it wasn't accepted. Not until the latter half of the 80s, where Freddie Mercury came out of the fucking closet.
Well, yeah, it was like, anyway.
The point is, you had all these ideas being floated amongst the populace, and you had young children in my era saying, when I was a young kid, going, oh, I'm a bit worried I might turn out to be gay. I'm a bit worried about that, you know. And it's like, well, if you're worried about it, you've got nothing to worry about, you know. Obviously, you're adverse to the idea. Don't worry about it. Don't think anymore. And, you know, but the point is, when you've got kids of that age group and you're suddenly told, actually, it's all right not just to be gay, but you can be anything you want, that gives people crutches that shouldn't exist that they lean upon. And then in later life, those very crutches will let them down.
Yeah.
And their life will turn to shit and they will become more and more degenerate as time goes on. You know, that's how this shit works.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Maleficus. You know, I look at this every day, like I was talking about when it comes to the whole the Minecraft situation. I'm hoping to be able to play that, but I don't think we're going to get time. I want to continue this clip so that we can finish it. Yep. And
bloody well, crack on then, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't even want to say what a lot of this stuff is because it's absolutely off the deep end disgusting. And then they also, these resources instructed kids on things like hiding their browsing history, how to go about getting those websites accessible at their schools. There was advice on being trans, on chest binding and worse, and things to do with male genitals and all the rest of it to be a trans person. Explicit advice on alternative kinds of sexual activity to children and so on. So what happened was that the federal government announced that they were going to review the material. They were going to do a review. Daniel Andrews immediately jumped on and backed it. And he said this, well, the bad news is that the Liberals are still on the warpath about safe schools, a brilliantly effective program designed to stamp out bullying, not pile it on. But there is some good news. If the Turnbull government decides to cut the funding for this program, I'm proud to announce that the Victorian government will make up the shortfall. We'll lock that funding in at a state level because if it saves one life, it's worth it. Safe schools is officially saved in Victoria. He goes on to say, I get my policy advice from experts, not bigots. So apparently the people pointing all this out were just bigots, and the parents who would be concerned about this were just bigots. And also he sits there and raves on about how that he's going to save the funding for this thing. I'm sitting there going, right, so they're exposed for being quite perverted, and what you're going to do is pay them for it.
Yeah.
Well, that was his approach. In 2015...
Go ahead.
The point with that is that, you know, it's like with war. There's always money for war. There's never any money for peace, you know? And, you know, they're saying, look, you know, we really want this. Basically, what the government are saying, or what Dan Andrews is saying on behalf of the powers that be, is that really, we really need this agenda pushed through. So even if there's any opposition against it and there's funding pulled from it, we'll make up the shortfall because otherwise it won't go in the direction that we want. Why can't people fucking see through that?
It's an agenda. It's an agenda. It's a huge agenda. You're absolutely right. The biggest thing for me is why can't people see it? I don't get it. It's like, why can't people see it?
Well, it's right there in front of them to see.
Yeah, I know. It fucking, oh God, it's my fucking life. Seriously.
Yeah, mate, you can't lose faith in humanity yet. We've still got at least 12 minutes.
Yeah, there we go. I'm trying not to, Maleficus. I'm trying not to, I tell you. I'm trying not to.
Well, look, around this campfire, you don't have to, because at least we're sat around with a bunch of people that all fucking know what the truth is, and you know, we're arguing the same point over most of.
Well, you know what I can do. You know what I can do. I can quit this one and just play the whole biculture thing. You know, I did the biculture thing, and people aren't going to be able to hear it when it comes to 107.9 or 1650 AM. So I can play it here and now, rather than finishing that. I will put the links for truth about Daniel Andrews and everything like that beside the broadcast. But in the meantime, I'll play the biculture and see what people think.
WTFR.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you sick to death of the bi culture as much as I am? And what I mean by the bi culture, it seems that in the age groups of the millennials and below, they've all got to have a pet bi person or a pet faggot. Maleficus and I discussed it somewhat on one of the broadcasts not so long ago. But, you know, I've been taking a look at some of the Minecraft groups that my daughter's a part of, and she can't escape it. In almost all of the groups that she's a part of, and I keep a close eye on it to make sure that there's no sleaze bags in there, because you've got to watch those servers like Hypixel, very well known for having a bunch of fucking sleaze bags trying to cotton on to young girls. So you've got to keep a close eye on that shit, make perfectly sure you do. What happens is there's always somebody that's got to tell you that they're bi. They've got these pronouns groups where they identify as he or she, he, they, she, they, right? So when they say, like, what is your pronoun, you get a person that might say he, they, or she, they, okay? So I was looking at one of my daughter's groups, and there's a girl that identifies as he, they, instead of she, they, right? In other words, bisexual or transsexual, one of the fucking two, I don't know. I keep an eye on all this shit, and I'm very strict in what can and can't happen the way a parent should be, rather than the half-assed parents these days that sit there and say, oh, well, I just allow my 12-year-old to do whatever they want to do because they need their privacy too. No, your 12-year-old needs a fucking parent. Your 12-year-old needs you watching over his or her shoulder so that they're not going to be misguided by some fucking sleazoid, some fucking transsexual, some fucking bisexual. You need to be on over their shoulder saying, oh, look, what the fuck is this? This is disgusting is what it is. And I tell people, as Obi and Cam will tell you, there was a young lady, and I've spoken about this in the past as well, there was a young lady that was living in their household, and we were watching a movie, and this movie was all of a sudden this bloke sees a straight couple kissing out on the dance floor. So he goes, well, if you can't beat him, join him, and walks up and starts just sticking his tongue down another man's throat. So our immediate reaction, Obi's and my immediate reaction, was like, oh, fuck, that's disgusting. And we started to fucking like, acting like we're puking. And this young lady was like, I'm offended. And I said, what are you offended about? Well, I'm bisexual. And I said, no, you're an attention whore. You know, your age group is full of attention whores that call yourselves bi. Everybody's got to be bi these days to be popular or something like that, which is absolutely fucking feral. It's fucking gross. You know, I don't want to see a girl with her tongue down another girl's throat. I definitely don't want to see a man his tongue down another man's throat. It's gross. You think it's all popular? Because your age group has been corrupted by the mainstream media and fucking television shows that you watch and all of that horse shit, which is another reason to throw your fucking TV out. But it's not.
It's not fucking nice. It's disgusting. You're gross. Okay? So every time you think, oh, well, I'm bi, and you think that that's going to make you popular, it might make you popular for a short time within your age group, but that will soon die off. All right? Because the men, the boys that are going to become men in your age group sooner or later are going to look back at you as a fucking disgusting faggot. Plain and simply. They mightn't say it right away. They mightn't be saying it now, but later on they will look back and they'll say, I remember that disgusting little fucking faggot. That little faggot bitch. Right? A little faggot bitch that couldn't defend itself if it tried. Disgusting. All of you that have to be a part of the bi culture, you need to wake the fuck up. It's disgusting. You're a little attention whore, and you need to grow out of that shit. Period.
1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.
107.9 FM in the Alpines.
WTFR.
We're bored and free.
So there you go, Maleficus. Yes, the attention whores.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, you're quite right in saying everyone has to have a gay friend or a bi friend or a, you know, there was a lass that used to come and visit my lad. And I was sat in the garden one day, we were having a barbecue, and she was around the house quite a lot. And one day I just, one of my usual rants, you know, just said, oh, well, you know, what's the point in putting up with all these fucking faggot marches and stuff anyway? I'll tell you what it was. There was a church locally. The pastor of the church had put a post up on Facebook saying, not that I'm a Facebook person, but it made national news here.
Right.
There was a pastor put a post up on Facebook when the Pride March was cancelled in the local town. Due to COVID restrictions, he put up the words underneath the post, hallelujah. That's it, one word.
Mm.
And he ended up with death threats, threats of his house being firebombed, etc., by, and even though he invited the very people that were threatening this to his house to have the conversation,
wow.
He ended up getting a visit from the police for inciting trouble.
Oh, right? Fuck. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so, look, you know, again, this is just another example of the left going, oh, you can't hurt anyone. Well, if you hurt anyone, we're going to punch the fuck out of you. Sean, if you don't wear your helmet while you're cycling,
yeah,
beat you up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's no different.
Exactly. It's no different. Yeah, you're absolutely right. This whole fucking politically correctness gone mad, people that just buy into the mainstream media, people that buy in, you know, they're just sheeple. That's all they are. Yeah. They continuously tell me that they're not sheeple. You know, when I walk down the street and I talk to people and I say, you know, you're a bunch of sheeple. That's what you are. They go, we're not sheeple. And I go, well, then why are you wearing a mask? And they...
because you have to, don't you, mate? You right? have to.
Exactly.
You have to, don't you?
Oh. Fucking crazy. Fucking crazy. Yep. I know.
The other decent point you brought up in that last little comment was that you do... parents do need to keep an eye on what their kids are doing online.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's a simple, innocent game like Minecraft... Roblox, all these, you know, silly little games that are just, you know, Animal Jam and all that kind of thing put up by the National Geographic, simply to suck kids in and make them communicate with a bigger, shall we say, palette of colours or people or creeds or cultures. That's what it's there for. It stops them from socialising with their own communities and being part of them.
Maleficus, take us out. We've just come to the end of the show, mate.
Oh, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week. In fact, me and Sean are on with Bryza tomorrow night. So hopefully catch you guys then, too. This is the Two Company Three for now. Until next week, take care. Thank you.
101.9 FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York.
Well, we're happy, Merchant. You've been called out on so many levels. What do you have to say for yourself these days?
Is that all you've got to say for yourself?
I may.